is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy cuts to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Welcome to the show, final show of the week. John Murphy, Donald Jones coming to you live from One Bills Drive here until 3 o'clock today. A lot of draft talk today as we're inside 3 weeks until the NFL draft. One thing we will not discuss today, Donald, the weather in Buffalo, the weather in Orchard Park.
No.
Off the table. Not going to talk about it. It's too depressing. It's just too much. There's nothing more to say. A couple of inches of snow here today, and there's just nothing more to say. It's ridiculous. It's demoralizing. It doesn't seem to have any – there's no end in sight, apparently, to this winter. It's ridiculous. But we can't talk about it because everybody feels the same way, don't you think?
I'm pretty Everywhere sure you go in everybody – you know, people have been talking trash to me for a little while now because I've been complaining about the weather since October. So people have been talking trash, but now everybody's feeling the same way, so I'm loving it.
You were right, That's Donald, right. about weather.
Hey, you know,
the winter here
it's just long.
It's way too long. It's not that difficult to deal with. It can look nice in the winter from time to time. It can be fun for people, but it's way too long.
Way too long. I was talking to – I have a little cousin who's down. He's in college in North Carolina, and I'm talking to him, and he's like, yeah, man, it's like – 78 here, sunny every day. He's like, we're outside cooking on the grill. I'm like, come on, man. I didn't ask you for that. He's like, my bad. I really didn't ask you for that.
It's bad. We can't not discuss it. Everybody feels the same way. It will not be discussed from here on. No more comments about Buffalo weather. You're getting out of the weather for the weekend, right? You're going to Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I'm getting out of here. I'm tired of the snow, the cold weather. I need some warm weather. I'm gone.
I just went through Austin last weekend on the way down and the way back from San Antonio.
It's a neat little city.
It's a good place, yeah. Yeah, I didn't get into the city at all. You're a barbecue guy. I told you, Tuesday afternoon we had lunch at an incredible barbecue place, Salt Lick Barbecue, about 20 minutes outside downtown Austin. You have to check it out.
The problem is I don't eat meat anymore.
Oh, well, that would be a problem there because that's about all they have. That's about all they have. I mean, they have some sides that are, you know, meaningless.
Right, yeah.
It's incredible barbecue.
You came here for this? For some string beans?
Yeah, don't go there. Never mind. Take it back. You'll have fun in Austin.
It's a great place. Salad works.
Yeah, you'll have fun in Austin. It'll be a great weekend. To get out of this weather, be great. We have a good show for you today. We're here until 3. It's Friday. That means Greg Cosell joins us. He, of course, is the executive producer and analyst on NFL matchup on ESPN. And he's done extensive work on the draft prospects. You got a chance to get your picks in now. We solicited this out on Twitter a little bit earlier. Greg Cosell has done his work on all of these draft picks. And if you have a guy that we haven't talked about yet in a regular Friday session with Greg Cosell, tweet us in a name and we'll see if we can get Greg on it. A couple of people have already done that. And we got time, I guess. You know, it's funny, our producer, Jay Harris, we sent this out a little bit earlier on. Greg Cosell, tweet in the prospect you want to discuss and why they'd be a fit for the Bills. We may use it on the show. You can still do that at John Murphy Show. We got a lot of tweets in, and we got a lot of suggestions for Greg Cosell. And our producer, Jay Harris, sent the suggestions along to Greg Cosell about 9:30, 10 this morning. Can you handle these guys? Can you talk about these guys? Greg Cosell sent a kind of a snarky text back that said, what do you mean? This is what I do. Yes, I know these people.
He does. He's probably watched all of them already.
He has. He said he knows these prospects that people are talking about. So we'll get into that with Greg Cosell at 1 o'clock today. 2 o'clock, Josh Norris from Roto World, one of the preeminent experts on the draft. He's been part of our show for 4 or 5 years now. Josh Norris will talk with us about some of the quarterbacks, some of the others in this draft. And we want to hear from you. The phone line's open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. We start the show with kind of our theme of the show. It is the draft, less than 3 weeks away. 3 weeks from today, we'll be into rounds 2 and 3 of the draft on Friday. But, you know, we've talked about these prospects a lot, right, the quarterback prospects. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to have a favorite. Some people seem to have guys they do not want under any circumstances for the Buffalo Bills. And that is our discussion point today. Out of the top projected quarterbacks in the draft, which quarterback do you not want the Buffalo Bills to draft? Well, everybody's got a favorite. Who do you, under no circumstances, would you like to see the Bills pick? Give us a call. We'd love to discuss it on the telephone with you. Tell us why, of course. 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-552-550. Which quarterback prospect of the top ones do you not want to see the Buffalo Bills select? We put up a list of a couple on Twitter, and we can't get all of the top six on Twitter, but we put up Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, the UCLA quarterback, other, including Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, other, you know, we did not include Mason Rudolph. I guess he would be the sixth of the six. And right now on Twitter, 48% of you say Josh Allen is the guy you do not want the Buffalo Bills to select. Josh Allen, the Wyoming quarterback. 25% have somebody else in mind, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson. 16% say you do not want Josh Rosen from UCLA. 11% say you do not want Sam Darnold from USC. Let's hear you. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550, or do it on Twitter, vote in our Twitter poll, whatever you prefer. I'd have to vote for other. I would think I would not. I mean, if the Bills pick one of these guys, we'll all live with it, but especially Lamar Jackson or Mason Rudolph would be my picks for the Bills not to select with the first-round pick. I could live with virtually anybody, but those would be the two that I might have the greatest pushback on. What do you think, Donald? How about you?
So I would stay away from probably Mason Rudolph, Lamar Jackson as well. I think I'd probably, though, go with the majority and say I would stay away from Josh Allen.
Why?
Because Josh Allen, to me, just the accuracy is an issue for me. You know, the completion percentage, that I'm not even worried about that, but the accuracy is an issue. And I'm not sure how much better you can get with the accuracy. Obviously, we talk to different people that talk about you can change your footwork, you can to help with some accuracy stuff. But I think ultimately we are all creatures of habit, and I think that once you get on the field, you will revert back to what you are used to doing. And I don't know if you can correct his flaws, you know. And when you, and when we had Dan Orlovsky on, we had him on yesterday, and he was talking about Josh Allen just not seeing things, sometimes seeming like he was not prepared for the games. Those types of things will make you scratch your head. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? You're not prepared. You're the quarterback. You can't get up to the line of scrimmage and just look lost. That we can't have that, especially at Wyoming. You're not facing the Patriots defense. You're not facing these defenses that are crazy intricate or crazy hard to deal with once you get up here onto this level, into the NFL level. Once you get up here, if you're not preparing yourself right, then what? Now you're really lost and you find yourself throwing interceptions because you feel like I got the big strong arm. And guess what? That doesn't always work here at this level. So for me, I think I stay away from Josh Allen.
Okay. Why do you think Josh Allen is so highly regarded? Some people have him as a number one pick in this year's draft.
Because he's big and physical and strong.
What's wrong with that? That means a lot, I think.
You know, this is going back to this whole Daniel Jeremiah list that he had. And I was saying, why is he so high on the list? I think everybody gets caught up in his size, his stature, and that's not it.
His arm?
His arm.
People get caught up in his arm because it's a good arm. It's a big, strong arm.
It's a big, strong arm. I get that. But that doesn't necessarily translate to an NFL quarterback. We've seen it not happen in years.
I just think it's puzzling how there's so much negativity, and you can see it on our Twitter poll about Josh Allen among fans from you a minute ago, and yet some people think he's the best quarterback prospect here in this draft. Some scouts think that.
He might go number one.
He might go number one. Yeah.
Yeah, he might go number one because of that stature. And I'm pretty sure that's the reason. If he wasn't the big physical guy with the big arm, he wouldn't be probably even in the top five quarterbacks in this. But because he's so big, that's what people are really
with the big arm
enamored about. With the big arm.
Which counts for something when you play quarterback, no?
I mean, there's a lot of guys with big arms. That doesn't mean that they can play quarterback at this level.
Hmm. I would not say no to him. He would not be the guy I would say no to, but we're having this discussion. You can ring us up and let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. We're doing it on Twitter. Vote on Twitter. Let us know what you think. A couple of tweets. Thomas says he would not want Josh Allen. He says his accuracy is horrid. Rick Riballo, no Josh Allen, please. I'd rather have E.J. Samuel. Okay. Mark Ferrari, just say no to Lamar Jackson. Derek Askey, Jackson would top this list, but I chose Rosen because Mayfield would be the number three choice.
Mayfield.
I don't get that one. And then Kyle Kylan, why do you refuse to acknowledge Mason Rudolph's existence in this draft? He's part of this group. We know he's in this group. We know he's coming to visit the Bills this weekend, going to work out for the Bills here in Orchard Park reportedly this weekend. Mason Rudolph, for sure. He wasn't on our Twitter poll because there's no room for him on our Twitter poll. There's only so many characters you can put up there. We figured he was six out of six, but if you feel that way, give
call
us a call.
Twitter. Call Twitter and ask them for more characters.
Vinny Monteleone, not sure why you would group Mayfield and Jackson together. Because there's no room on Twitter. That's why.
Yeah. We're trying to have them all in there
for you. Trying
to
have fun, darn it. Trying to have fun. And the best way to do it is to engage on the telephone line, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Which of the quarterback prospects, the top quarterback prospects, do you not want the Buffalo Bills to select in the draft? Pretty simple question. We had to boil it down for Twitter, there's no, nothing afoot here. There's no intrigue afoot here. Lead the Stampede. Don't want Allen. I like his tools, but accuracy and completion percentage are scary, and you can't coach his bad eyes. He stares down receivers too much. NFL defensive backs will feast on that. I suppose so. If he was there at 12 or more, they didn't have to move up for him. I would hate it less. He's a new J.P. Lossman. I don't know about that. We're going to get Greg Cosell's thought on this, especially I want to hear what Greg Cosell says about the comments yesterday, right, from Dan Orlovsky about not being ready for games.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, we're talking about, about maybe not seeing things well, questioning his eyes as a quarterback. I want to see what Cosell says about that. I've watched the video of Josh Allen. I've seen him succeed for Wyoming. It is Wyoming, you're right. It's not the top level of college football, but pretty high up there. But we'll see. He would not be at the top of my list of quarterbacks I would not want the Bills to draft. Why? Because of his size, because of his arm strength. Those are real traits. Those are real attributes. Those are not negatives. They'd be that big and to have that strong an arm. I think that means something. That's why he's there.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that's a negative. I'm just saying there's more to playing quarterback than just a big arm. And he has to improve dramatically in everything else. You can't stare receivers down and think, oh, I have the big arm so I can get it in there. Because all you're going to get is an interception. You're going to get your receivers killed every single time. You can't stare receivers down and try to throw the ball over the middle because you're going to get your receivers killed. You can't come up to the line of scrimmage and not be prepared to actually run a play. That doesn't work in this league. You have to actually run everything and get everybody else prepared. So these are things that when you watch them on and then you can't just have random throws that go into the second level of the stadium. You just can't have that, you know. And so he has some dramatic improvement, not to take anything away from his big arm, his physical attributes, all of that stuff. But there's a lot more to playing quarterback in this league.
And there's time to develop him, coach him, to get him better.
If he goes number one overall, there is no time to develop him. Yeah. He has to play now.
Yeah, if the Bills don't have to select him number one overall, then they'll be – no, you don't have to play him right away.
If you take him number one?
No. Whew. You don't. Jared Goff didn't play right away.
You're right. You don't have to. You don't have to. If you feel like you – I mean
– develop him. Coach him. Do what coaches are supposed to do. Hey, there is news, a little bit of news for the Bills. We talked about it. Mason Rudolph has had a private workout with the New England Patriots, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL.com. And Mason Rudolph is reportedly coming in this weekend to visit with the Buffalo Bills. He's also got visits scheduled with the Chargers, the Saints, the Giants, the Steelers, and the Bengals. The Bills with the number 12 pick. Mason Rudolph probably could be there at number 12. You would think that's likely. And reportedly coming in for a visit with the Bills this weekend. Also reportedly coming to visit the Bills this weekend, Denzel Ward, cornerback from Ohio State, visited with the Chicago Bears earlier this week. The Bears with the 8th overall pick. Ward's going to visit the Bills, the Dolphins, the Browns over the next week and a half or so. And he's got a heavy schedule, one of the best cornerbacks in the draft. We'll see how that works out.
How to flyer miles.
Yeah. Yeah, moving around. And 30 visits, the Bills, 30 visits. And, they have 30 visits on the schedule. You'd think they'd use them all. They're going to start those in the next couple of days here. So former Bills wide receiver Jordan Matthews has agreed to terms on a one-year deal with the New England Patriots, who just traded away Brandon Cooks. That happened last night. The Patriots lost Cooks to a trade. Danny Amendola left in free agency. So Jordan Matthews, who only played 10 games with the Bills last year, a chip fracture in his sternum in his first practice at training camp last August, later broke his thumb in week four and missed a game. Missed a game in November because of a knee injury, and that wound him up on injured reserve. Jordan Matthews has signed with the New England Patriots. He had surgery back in December on his knee and his ankle, and now going to try to come back with the New England Patriots. Your thoughts on that, Mr. Jones, Donald Jones? What do you think?
My thoughts on Jordan Matthews going to the Patriots. I know a lot of Bills fans are saying, oh, the Patriots got another one. Here's my thoughts on this. I think Jordan Matthews is a good receiver, and we talked about this earlier in the office. To me, he's stuck in a very tough, tough situation. He was a very good receiver with the Eagles. One of their main guys was catching – he was like number two or number one on their team in receptions. He gets traded away. It's not even like he's a free agent and chose to come to the Bills. He gets traded to the Bills, a team that doesn't really throw the ball, a team that had a quarterback that wasn't always, you know, willing to pull the trigger. He gets hurt his first day here. Then he has some good games. Then he gets hurt again and goes on IR. Then he finds himself as a free agent and signs with the Patriots late in the game, which – tells you he probably didn't have that many teams that were, you know, trying to get him anyway. And so I think he's in danger of actually being cut out there. I've been out there. I understand how it works out there. Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, that's Tom Brady's guys. They have the guys outside. Jordan Matthews is another possession type of receiver, a slot type of receiver. He is not the guy on the outside that they're looking for. They let go of Brandon Cooks. You got to believe they want somebody that can take the top off the defense to replace Brandon Cooks, whether that's Kenny Britt, whether that is what's the other kid they have from the Colts? Oh, I can't think of his name. Yeah, but he's another guy Dorsett. That can go. Yeah, Dorsett. You got to believe those would be the guys that would actually make the team. Jordan Matthews would be a guy that would probably find himself out the door. They typically only keep 4 to 5 receivers on their roster. And you know that Edelman and Hogan are going to be there. You got to believe that Kenny Britt – and Dorsett are going to be there because they're more speed guys going up the sideline. Kenny Britt is a big physical guy. Jordan Matthews, I feel like, will find himself out the door. Now, I hope that he can actually make that team. I do. And I know Bills fans are like, why would you hope that he can make the team? Well, because he's a good dude.
Yeah.
You know, we had a chance to interview
him. He was
him.
A really good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a really good player. And maybe he'll actually beat those guys out. But I know at the end of the day, Edelman and Hogan, those are Tom Brady's guys. And so Jordan Matthews could come into training camp and really be balling, but Tom Brady relies on Hogan and Edelman in the slot.
All right, an interesting signing for the Patriots nonetheless. Jordan Matthews, Bills receiver last year, now a New England Patriot. Your thoughts on the Bills? Which quarterback would you not want to see the Bills sign of the premium A-list quarterbacks in this year's draft? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550, or do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of tweets. James J.L. Rizzone, I would say hell no to Allen and Rudolph. Allen because he has trouble reading defenses. Rudolph because his stats are inflated by his system and receivers. His flaws hidden by the system, too. A lot of one reads. His receivers adjusted to throws. Too scariest. James J.L. Rizzone goes on to say, Donald Jones is breaking John Murphy's heart right now, speaking the truth about his boy, Josh Allen.
Don't do that, people.
Why is Josh Allen my boy? Why is he my boy? I'm just saying there are people who think he could be the number one pick overall in the draft.
They are, and he might go number one overall.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised, but there are people who believe that.
When you heard Hugh Jackson talk about after his pro day, when he talked about, you know, he threw the ball in there and you could hear it hit somebody's sternum, and he was like, wow, that's a big arm right there. We know that these teams, these coaches, these GMs, they really like that stuff. These scouts, they like the big physical stature quarterback with the big arm because they feel like they can develop it, and maybe they can develop it. Maybe he can change. Some guys can be developed, others can't. Others will just go ahead and revert to what they're used to doing. And you know, I hope that Josh Allen can. But right now, in college, he had way too many flaws in his game.
Here's a tweet from Robert K. Van Wee. John Murphy, please answer me publicly, John, as opposed to privately, how we usually discuss. I don't even know who this is. I will answer publicly. How many games of Josh Allen have you watched? I'm thinking somewhere between 4, 5, or 6 about a month ago on draftbreakdown.com. Mm-hmm. The entire game, I mean, all of Josh Allen's work anyway, every pass, incompletions, interceptions, completions, 4 to 6. I wonder how many you've watched. Would you answer me publicly, Robert Van Wee? How many games of Josh Allen have you viewed? That's a fair request, right?
Yeah.
I say I think I've watched about 6.
Call us up.
Call us up. It's easier to do it on the telephones. 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. You're caught up on our topic of the day. You're caught up on the news of the day here at One Bills Drive. Not a whole lot. And our guest list, I think I told you that right. We got Greg Cosell at one, mm-hmm. Josh Norris the two. What am I forgetting here before we get phone calls?
Nothing.
Up? We got everything. You ready for phone calls?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's get into some phone calls here. Brian in Kansas. Where in Kansas are you, Brian?
Salina? Salina, Kansas.
Okay, I've heard of that. What's up, Brian? What's on your mind?
Hey, I have a question. Getting one of these young quarterbacks for that first pick, most people would say start them day one, but I want to know what Pierce and Donald's take is on letting them set for the whole year, no matter what. I just feel like if they set, they would have a better chance of being successful than starting them right away.
Yeah, good point. We kind of talked that a minute ago. I don't think you're obligated to start them from day one. And, in fact, I think for the most part, most quarterbacks would benefit from not starting right away. When you say no matter what, I'm a little reluctant to commit to that.
Yeah.
I would say start, you know, in the Bills' case, they draft one of these quarterbacks. Happy if they start Nathan Peterman. I'd be happy if they start A.J. McCarron. I'd like to see the kid, the rookie, play at some point, but no rush, no pressure. If the other starter plays the entire season, I'm good with that. What about you, Donald?
Yeah, I think that once they get into training camp, it's a competition, and whoever wins, wins. You know, I mean, if the whoever they draft, if it's a rookie you trade up and get one of those top four quarterbacks, if you draft one in the third round, it's going to be an open competition regardless of what everybody else thinks out there. It's going to be an open competition with A.J. McCarron, with the rookie, with Nathan Peterman, and whoever wins that competition will start day one, and hopefully they can keep that position throughout the course of the year. If we have a situation where we go into the season day one, so-and-so is the quarterback, and then by week five, you're changing quarterbacks, that means something's not going right. That means we're heading in the wrong direction. And so I'd rather, you know, I'm hoping that whoever gets that job day one has that job moving forward.
Okay, let's take a call here from Paul, who's in his car near Rochester. Where exactly are you, Paul? Want to know the mile marker on the thruway.
On my way back to Rochester from Buffalo.
I got you.
Love this topic, guys. I do.
Oh, good.
That was my idea,
right, Donald?
That was your idea.
I hope they don't take Darnold or Rosen, because that means they had to trade up to two to get them. And I think that we give A.J. a chance. I think he's underrated. And I think that the draft picks that we would have to give up to get up to number two, we can do a lot better to bolster the entire roster with those picks and move forward next year with a quarterback if A.J. isn't the guy.
So you like neither Darnold nor Rosen, because that would mean the Bills would have traded up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I know. We talked about this. What's that?
I said history says you got a 50-50 shot with those guys anyways.
I know, but don't you have to take a shot sometime?
Yes, at some point. But right now we're loaded to fill out the rest of the roster. And if we wanted to go next year and trade up, I probably would be happy with that. But what if A.J. turns out to be a serviceable quarterback? I think he's underrated.
Okay. Fifth rounder, A.J. McCarron. We'll see. I think he is serviceable right now. I'd like to see him play and see how well he plays. There's a reason why he didn't play at Cincinnati very often, playing behind Andy Dalton. But, sure, I'm not an anti-A.J. McCarron guy. You have to acknowledge it, Donald. We talked about this on the show over the last couple of weeks. There's a certain percentage of Bills fans who do not want the Bills to move up to give up draft assets to get one of these top quarterbacks. I get that, right?
Yeah, I get it. I think a lot of people see how many draft picks feel like you need to fill out the roster and build it around A.J. and around Nate Peterman or whatever rookie you actually draft without trading up. I get that side of it, and I get the other argument where it's like, go ahead, take the shot and get that kid. And I don't have a problem with trading up to get a quarterback. I just have been on the record saying this over and over and over again as we talk about quarterbacks over and over and over again.
Yes, you do.
I just have a problem with giving up everything in the draft, and I think it's going to take a lot to get up there. We all know it's going to take a lot to get up there. But I will go back to, just because you trade up to get one, it's going to be a lot of pressure on the coaching staff to play that rookie. If they were to trade up to number two and take whoever, it's going to be pressure, but they don't care about that. It's going to be an open competition once they get to training camp, and whoever wins that position. If the rookie comes in here and lights it up, they'll start. If A.J. McCarron lights it up, they'll start. the perfect scenario, to be honest, that you want to be in is A.J. McCarron to light it up and for the rookie to be good but need some work.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have – or Nathan Peterman to really step his game up, because now you have three quarterbacks on your roster that you feel good about, you know, and that's the perfect scenario. Like the Eagles were in last year, they felt good about Nick Foles. Carson Wentz was their guy. Nick Foles had to come in and win the Super Bowl for him. That's what you want to be in. Most teams are not in that position where you have a starting quarterback and then you have a backup that's really, really good too.
Which quarterback do you not want the Bills to be involved with? Which of these premium first-round quarterbacks are you hoping the Bills avoid? Here's a call from Rich in Buffalo. Go ahead, Rich. Welcome to the show.
Murph, DJ, how you doing? In honor of the snow, I wish you a happy holiday.
Yeah, right. Happy New Year.
The quarterback I don't want, and even though they say he's the most pro-ready, is Josh Rosen. And the reason I don't want him is the concussion issues scare me. And his commitment, the rumors about how he loses interest and gets distracted, and because of his quote-unquote pedigree background where he has a lot of interests, first of all, the concussions scare me, but if he gets bored easily a year or two from now, and he does have an injury or two, he might say, you know, I don't need this. I can make money doing something else and standing on my own 2 feet without getting hit all the time. So Josh Rosen, like I said, the concussion issue and the commitment level right now is the reason why I would stay away from it.
Interesting, Rich. Thanks for calling.
You know, I don't think this guy has a commitment problem. And that's what's really bad about the media. You know, as you hear different reports coming out and somebody will say, this guy has a commitment issue. And you're like, well, where did that come from? I mean, the guy, he was getting beat up all through college and still came ready to play every single time. Dan Orlovsky said it yesterday.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this guy was taking a beating game in, game out, and still coming back ready to play. I think this guy really likes football, and I think he wants to play football, and I think he wants to be really good. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that he doesn't want to do other things off the field as well. He can do it at the same time if it's business, whatever the case may be. I mean, there are a lot of guys who play sports that do a lot of different things off the court, off the field, whatever the case may be. So for me, as long as you know the guy loves to play football, I'm totally fine with that. I don't think he has a commitment issue. The injuries, that's something that you can worry about. The concussions, the shoulder, he wears the big knee brace. So you know there's something with that as well. So I think that's something that you could worry about more than the actual commitment talk.
Yeah, it's pretty prevalent, though, that talk, to the point where Dan Orlovsky mentioned it yesterday. I mean, we should probably engage Greg Cosell on this. And look, nobody has the answer, right? Nobody has a definitive answer. It was, to me, shocking, and we talked about it with Orlovsky yesterday, shocking that Rosen's college quarterback, Jim Mora, kind of questioned that his college coach, he didn't question his commitment, but he said he's a millennial. You know, he'll need to have things explained to him. I thought it was kind of condescending for him to say that.
That was.
A guy who had played quarterback for him for a couple of years at a pretty high level. Yes, they didn't accomplish what they wanted to accomplish, wins and losses, but you just don't hear a college coach kind of throw one of his players under the bus like that.
He's probably smarter than Jim Moore.
He probably is, yeah.
And Moore's probably like, don't ask me a question like that again. I don't know how to answer it.
I don't know the answer to that one.
I remember being in high school, and my high school quarterback, James Felton, my high school quarterback, one day he asked the coach. The coach was like, yeah, we're gonna do it this way. And we were lining up to the short side of the field and running a play to the short side. And so James was like, coach, no disrespect, but why we keep running to the short side of the field? And my coach went off. And he's like, don't question my motives. And so, and the entire team just bust out laughing. It was the greatest thing ever. And to this day, we still laugh and joke about that. Like, you remember Coach said that? Don't question my motives. But who knows? Josh Rosen could be like that, where he was always constantly, coach, why are we doing it this way? And I know people talk about millennials in that way. Yeah, there are a lot of millennials that question a lot of things.
Are you a millennial?
I am a millennial. JJ and the other room is a millennial.
You don't question much of what we do. You seem pretty agreeable to stuff.
I question some stuff.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I question some stuff. I might not like come out and say it all the time, but in my mind, I'm like,
well,
but
I'm like
not
that
just
too.
Here,
I'm not,
not just here, but no. You know, anywhere. I question a lot of different things. You have other people that say it openly, and maybe Rosen is like that, where he just turned people off. dude, what is your problem? Why do you keep asking so many questions? Just go with the flow.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I don't want to go with the flow. This is, oh, I feel strong about this.
Yeah. Well, he's smart. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being smart. In fact, you want your quarterback to be pretty smart.
You know, sometimes people don't want you to show that they're smart. You know, if you're the smartest guy in the room, so you know how they say you shouldn't show it all the time. You shouldn't show that you're the smartest guy in the room because then everybody else feels like this guy thinks he's smarter than
right.
us.
That's how I operate.
So wait, which side are you?
I am usually the smartest guy in the room, but I try not to let anybody know that.
Okay.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Go ahead, tweet in some angry stuff now. That's what you do.
So when we have our meetings in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, I'm half asleep usually.
Oh.
You never go to those meetings. What are you talking about?
You know.
We're going to break. We want to know from you, and you can do it on Twitter. You can phone us up. Of the top projected quarterbacks in this year's NFL draft, which quarterback do you not want the Buffalo Bills to select? Right now on Twitter, more than half of you, 51%, say please stay away from Josh Allen of Wyoming. 25% say somebody else, Baker Mayfield or Jackson. 14% say do not select Josh Rosen. 10% say do not select Sam Darnold. Give us a call. We'll discuss 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. More of that coming up. Plus the Dolphins. What was the signature game for the Miami Dolphins? You might be surprised when you hear the answer. We'll talk about it when we return. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
That's a topic for the show once the draft is over.
That's right, yeah.
To call somebody a millennial, is that an insult?
It's starting to become an insult. Yeah,
when I you don't turn see it
on,
that way.
When you turn on the different news channels and they're like, oh, millennials. You're like, wait a second. If you're a millennial sitting in that room, wait a second. What does that mean? It's a good thing. We think different.
I don't know if it's an insult. I don't consider it an insult.
No, I'm just joking. It's okay. Not an insult.
Here's an interesting tweet. It has nothing to do with what we've talked about so far today, but going back to yesterday's show.
Okay.
Ken Chris, from your question yesterday on what we lost, remember?
Mm-hmm.
How were the Bills worse from 2018? Right now, we know there's a long way to go to 2017. Ken Chris, lost a lot up the middle. Quarterback, middle linebacker, center, slot corner, lost one of our most productive wide receivers in Deontay Thompson. Having new quarterback and offensive center could mean drop-off regardless of who it is. Hope not, but certainly possible. It is possible. Hmm. Well, let's break that down. Quarterback, Tyrod, we know Tyrod's production, not great.
Mm-hmm.
31st passing attack. I mean, we know Tyrod.
Right.
I think we can agree that you could get better than Tyrod Taylor, quarterback, and you should try.
Mm-hmm.
Middle linebacker, Preston Brown, I think a really productive player. Big tackler, smart guy, adapted to different defenses. They're going to try to get better, I think, with a more athletic middle linebacker.
I think
right?
That was the biggest thing. They wanted to get more athletic there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Center, Eric Wood, great pro, one of the all-time great Buffalo Bills. They have not one but two potential veteran replacements, Ryan Groy and help me out here.
Bodine,
yes. Just signed a couple weeks ago. Slot corner. Okay, I get it.
Leonard Johnson.
Yeah, Leonard Johnson. Not going to be re-signed, but they've signed some corners here who might have a chance to play in it. Look, there's no guarantees on any of these. You're right, Ken, but I just have a hard time immediately thinking the Bills in 2018, what they have now without a draft, and some other free agents are behind where they were in 2017.
You know what's interesting to me?
You
hear Denzel Ward coming in on a meeting.
Yeah.
Now, we've been talking about if you can't trade up there to get a quarterback, what direction do you go? You bring in Denzel Ward. Denzel Ward is going to come off the board somewhere in the top 20.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be there at number 12. That could be a direction that they end up going in that we haven't even touched on.
Right, we haven't talked about
talked about linebacker, wide receiver as being the positions that they would go for, but maybe they feel like we need to draft the corner high and have Tre'Davious on one side, another corner on the other side. You move Vontae Davis into the slot, and there you go. You have your back end of your defense now being hopefully one of the top back-end defenses in the league. I mean, maybe that's a direction that they could go.
Yeah.
Vontae Davis now, Brandon Bean, or Sean McDermott, I can't remember exactly which one, at the combine when they spoke, said Vontae Davis will play outside. But we all know this is the baloney time, and they say things to say things, just not to give different things up. And maybe ultimately they feel like, look, we can move a Vontae Davis inside, or Vontae Davis can play outside. You typically don't draft a corner that high and have him playing nickel, but maybe you feel like we can put him in here, Denzel Ward, to begin his career at the nickel and then move him outside, or whomever you draft. Start their career at the nickel and then move them outside at some point. I mean, that's a whole nother position that we really haven't talked about.
Right.
Because the back end of the defense was the strongest part of the team last year. Aside from LeSean McCoy himself, the back end of the defense is really what carried this team into the playoffs. With all of the interceptions, sacks from the safeties, big tackles, all of that stuff, pass breakups. And so you don't want to necessarily have a drop-off in the back end of your defense. And if you can have young corners on rookie deals that are like two of the best corners in the league, I mean, that's pretty good.
Phillip Gaines, too, just signed a couple
Phillip
weeks
Gaines,
ago.
Phillip Gaines,
that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is viewed as, I think, almost exclusively a nickel corner.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see. But you make a good point. I don't know that they've lost a significant amount talent-wise from 2017, but we'll see. There's still a long way to go. Our major question today, which of the premium quarterbacks in this year's draft do you not want to see on the Buffalo Bills? That is our Twitter question. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Kevin in Hamburg. Go ahead, Kevin. You're on the air with us.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't want Lamar Jackson because I don't think he protects the football any better than Tyrod. And what that guy said from Detroit, that quarterback, you better get someone in the back of him if he gets hurt. I'm afraid he'll run around and somebody will put a Ronnie Lott type of hit on him, how Ronnie Lott used to hit people, and he'll be splattered all over the turf, and then we're screwed.
Mm-hmm. That was eye-opening what Orlovsky said about, first of all, you better change your offense to accommodate Lamar Jackson if you draft him. Secondly, you better have a really good backup because he's going to get hurt. I haven't heard anybody say that about Lamar Jackson yet. Yes, he's going to run. Does that mean he's going to get hurt? I don't know.
I would say football is 100% you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, quarterbacks that stand in the pocket, they get hurt because somebody breathes on them and they sprain their knee or something like that. But you have a guy like Lamar Jackson who wants to take off, wants to run, wants to be dynamic, and he's not going to be the guy to run and slide. Not early in his career. He's not going to be the guy that's always wanting to get down and slide unless whoever his quarterback coach is really on him about that. When you watch him run with the ball, he is like – dangerous with the football in his hands. He wants to shake you. He wants to make plays. He wants to be that guy that can take that ball 80 yards to the house for a touchdown. So I can't necessarily see him, let me slide right now, unless he just has a total 180 in his way of thinking. So you got to believe at some point, he's going to get hurt. He's going to take some hits and get hurt. And then you got to have a backup to come in. And that was really smart by Dan Orlovsky yesterday to talk about that.
803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Do you have a quarterback you do not want the Bills to pick in this year's draft? We'll talk about that. We'll continue that discussion in a moment. I want to talk a little bit about the Miami Dolphins, an interesting story that came up overnight. You think about the end of the Bills season, the turnaround game, they went down to Kansas City, won at Kansas City after three straight losses, lost to the Patriots, and then came home, beat the Colts in the snowstorm, and then got ahead of steam. The Bills won four of their last six, lost two of their last six to the New England Patriots. December 17th at New Era Field, the Bills beat the Dolphins. Yeah, that's right. Were you here at this game?
I was at the game.
Bills beat the Dolphins 24-16. Handled the Dolphins. Yeah. Was that the one you're at?
I don't remember. This stuff runs together.
The Bills beat the Dolphins 24-16, a victory that made the record, if I'm correct here, 8-6, right? Because they won one, lost one down the stretch. Big win for the Bills. Bigger loss for the Dolphins, it seems, according to Adam Gase, Dolphins head coach. That loss, 24-16, the Dolphins, as you know, since the season ended, have traded Jarvis Landry. They cut Ndamukong Suh. They signed people like Danny Amendola, Frank Gore, basically letting many of their stars get away and signing guys who, I don't know, for lack of a better term, might be better culture guys. Well, last night, Coach Adam Gase talked about those signings. He was at our buddy Joe Rose, part of the Dolphins broadcast team, had the Coach Adam Gase on his radio show and asked him about those moves and what prompted those moves. Listen to what Adam Gase said about that on Joe Rose radio show.
We were right there in the mix at the end, and, We end up winning against New England, and we got a great shot to go up to Buffalo and really make a move and take a rough season and turn that thing around real fast. and we didn't get it done. You know, it was not the team that we wanted to be. You know, when you hear the word front runner used by people to describe us, that's something that's not going to be accepted here, and we're going to make changes, and we're going to make sure that, you know, we get the right people that are going to do things the way we want them. That's, you know, at end of the year told myself a lot as far as who was in and who was out. Waiting for the light to kick on, especially after the New England game. That game at Buffalo just seemed like 20-hour game. You know, I was just waiting for us to turn the corner and really get going, and we could just never – nothing was working for us, and just there was no swagger, there was no attitude, and that was disappointing to see. And it wasn't everybody. There's, you know, you turn on that tape, there's guys that stand out noticeably as far as their effort and their play that was extremely high, and they were given everything they had, and we just did not have enough guys doing that, and that's why things stuck out so much on some of these games. And you know, that's why we felt like we needed to change some things around. And, you know, we had a lot of good guys in that locker room last year that gave it everything they had. And no matter what happened, they never wavered, and they just kept plugging away. And we feel like we've added good pieces to that group.
Adam Gase, Dolphins head coach. Very interesting. The game at Buffalo, December 17th. Bills win it 24-16. Dolphins scored 10 fourth quarter points to make it close, but the Bills were pretty much in control that entire game. Cutler had a horrible game throwing for the Miami Dolphins in that game, 3 interceptions. And you think about the context from the Dolphins standpoint, they had that big win against New England coming into Buffalo. I remember we talked about that all week. Many people thought, oh, watch out for the Dolphins. And I'm not saying they laid down, but there wasn't a whole lot of bang for their buck in that game. And I think that's what Adam Gase is talking about, which led him to making some of the changes he made. I just think it's interesting. The game at Buffalo, Orchard Park, when the Bills picked off Cutler and beat the Dolphins, was really what triggered Miami's moves this offseason, Donald, replacing some of their, you know, highly paid guys and big-name guys, Jarvis Landry and Ndamukong Suh, some of the others, with guys who maybe not have as big names, but maybe have better reputations as players, as guys who will show up and play on an every game basis. What do you think?
I think Adam Gase, as he said, that game just seemed like it was taking forever. He got to a certain point in that game. He's probably standing on the sideline just watching the Bills team and watching how the Bills came ready to play. And the Bills, everybody knows, if you're a coach, you're Adam Gase down in Miami, you're paying attention, yeah, to your team, but you can see everything that the Bills are talking about is the process, trust the process, hard work. You can see all of the guys that the Bills brought in here were good character guys, and you can see the effort from the Bills on the field, week in, week out. Didn't matter what type of situation they were in, you would see the effort on the field. He's looking at his own team, and he's like, yo, we're just not matching that effort.
Right.
And so the game just seemed like it took forever. And I've been in those games, too, where you're standing there, you're getting blown out on all levels, and you're like, I just want to go home. Can the refs just wind the clock? Forget the rules in the rule book. Can they just wind the clock so we can get back on the bus to the planes and get back home so I can go eat some dinner and get in the bed? You've been in those games. And so, yeah, I think once he watched that happen with his team, not see the effort on the field, it's not even just the effort. It's like guys getting penalties, stupid penalties, personal conduct type of penalties, and you're standing there as a coach, you're like, what is going on with this team right now? We got too many big personalities, too much big money on this team. It's time for us to shed some of this weight, money-wise, and these big personalities. Bring some guys in here that really want to play football, and really, he wants to build a culture like the Buffalo Bills have right now. I think ultimately that's what he saw and that's what he wants to build.
It's kind of a good compliment to the Bills. You look at the way the Dolphins finished. They had that Monday night win over New England in Miami, came here to Buffalo, lost to the Bills in the game that Gase is talking about, went to Kansas City, lost to the Chiefs on Christmas Eve, and then, of course, the Bills finished them off on New Year's Eve. I don't think the Dolphins distinguished themselves in that game either, mm-mm, really, on New Year's Eve. You think about how they played and some of the stuff that was going on, fights and Jarvis Landry getting thrown out of the game.
Right.
I don't think they came ready to play that game either. It's pretty clear why Gase might feel that way, and I think it is a compliment, I think, to the Buffalo Bills, the way they played that day, the way they played both days against
them. Let me tell you something. If I'm a head coach in this league, you know, as a coach in this league, your job is really dependent on the players on the field. Yeah, mm-hmm, you have to coach these guys. You have to prepare them. But ultimately, the players on the field got to make the plays. And if those guys are not making the plays, then on top of that, you're getting all types of – personal conduct, 15-yard penalties and just fights and crazy stuff. You have guys saying crazy stuff in the media, you know, stuff like that. And you have guys getting paid all of this money. You're like, look, if my job is ever on the line, I'm going to get fired with guys that I want to coach. I'm going to get fired coaching guys that want to actually play, want to be here, want to play football. All the money, all of that stuff, yeah, it's everybody wants to make money, but that's not the leading factor in why they are out here playing football. Guys that come to work, ready to work every single day, it doesn't matter. If I'm going to get fired, I want those guys on my team. I don't want these big personality guys. They don't care about me as a coach. And so I'll get rid of you before they get rid of me.
More on drafting a quarterback coming up when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. Donald and I back with more from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy, Donald Jones here until 3 today. We're minutes away from Greg Cosell from NFL Matchup on ESPN to talk about some of the quarterbacks in this draft. What's your thought on which quarterback would you stay away from? Who do you not want the Bills to consider in the early first round or in the first round, anywhere in the first round, I guess? A lot of talk about quarterbacks. We figure we'd approach it from the other direction. I think it's working, too.
Yeah, I think we're getting a lot of reaction on this.
A lot of hot takes. Yeah. Rob in Eden. Go ahead, Rob. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Hi, Donald. How are you?
We're good.
What up,
though?
Good. Thanks for the call. I used to make your pizza out at South Towns Pizza in Orchard Park.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you remember, but...
Yeah.
I was kind of being flippant in the tweet that I said, but the reason I asked you that is because I agree with you 100% when you look at Allen. He is just the picture of a quarterback you want, but I feel like when you go back and watch his games, he just almost looks confused and... Seems like 50% of his throws, the receiver is falling down to get it, or it's just off. I mean, he's either going to be an amazing quarterback or just a complete flop, and I'd hate to take that risk on him.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Rob. He's a
boom or bust.
Boom or bust. He's a risk. Is he the riskiest of those top six? I don't know. Ooh. Lamar Jackson's pretty risky, I think. To put your franchise future in his hands.
Those two would be the most risky.
Risky?
Risky.
I think Mason Rudolph, although maybe not risky, maybe has the least potential for being a star quarterback in the league. Mason Rudolph, what do you think of that?
Mason Rudolph is only risky if you take him in the top 15,
yeah.
top 20
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. The others, I think, have potential greatness in them. I think Josh Allen, quite frankly, has potential greatness in him. Yes, he is not the most accurate. He'll have to get better at that. But the others, Darnold, I think, has potential greatness. Josh Rosen, potential greatness. Baker Mayfield, I guess the third I would list is a guy who could be a great quarterback in the league. They're not all going to be great. That was a really good point made yesterday, right, by who was it? Which one of our guests? Who said, it was Orlovsky, right? No, it was the other guest. Who said, look, there's only 10 elite quarterbacks in the league now.
You think?
Yeah, it was Connor Orr.
Mm-hmm.
You really think you're going to get five elite quarterbacks out of one draft? Probably not.
Probably not.
You got to find
When's
the
last time that happened?
It never happens. 1983, maybe you could point to?
Yeah.
You know?
I wasn't
doesn't
even
happen.
Born yet.
You don't get that many great quarterbacks typically. There's not that many. Here is a call from Milton in Buffalo. Milton, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, this isn't about the quarterback, but I was wondering, last year, which cornerback did we get from Baltimore? Was that Sharice Wright?
Yeah. Whoa. Sharice Wright, wasn't he from San Diego? He played in Baltimore, too, but I'm pretty sure he came over from San Diego.
Yeah, I think you're right, Tom.
I remember the year before, he had a hell of a game against us, and I was happy that we got him, and he was a stud for us last year, so I think that's definitely one of the key losses for us, you know. As far as quarterback, Jackson could be like Watson. I know Watson got hurt, you know what I mean? That's the quarterback that Houston picked up, right?
Yeah, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I think he has the potential to be like that if he could stay healthy, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the biggest – you know, there's some big, big question marks with all of these guys. But the biggest with Lamar Jackson, yeah, I mean, I guess he's boom or bust too, right? You look at him and you say, okay, you are a dynamic weapon with the ball in your hands. And I think that's how the Panthers looked at Cam Newton. You are a big, physical, dynamic weapon with the ball in your hands. We got to use you in the run game. Well, now you're starting to see that change because he's gotten hit too much. He's been hurt too much. Lamar Jackson is like 6'2", 6'3". He is not as big and physical as Cam Newton. So, you know, and he is dynamic to the point where he wants to take off, run. He wants to shake you. Like, he thinks he's Shady McCoy. And so you got to believe if you don't learn how to slide, you don't learn how to run out of bounds, these dudes will tee off on you. Like, guys on the defense, they look for the opportunity to tee off on a quarterback. And if you take off and you run, they say it all the time, you become a runner, I am going to hit you like you're a running back or like you're a wide receiver. So you better know how to get down, because if you don't, I'm going to do my best to try to take you out of the game. And it sounds like guys want to hurt each other, but this is football, and you look for that opportunity to get to take a hit on a quarterback that thinks that he can run like he's a running back or a wide receiver. So that's something that you have to worry about. You also have to worry about, once he gets to this level, you got to change your entire offense, which means your backup quarterback needs to probably be somewhat of a mobile quarterback just like he is, you know. And so you're talking about a spread open offense. And who knows, maybe that's what Brian Daboll wants to run here. But I think they want to have more of a pocket passing type of quarterback.
I do too. All right, a break here. When we come back, we'll talk about some of these quarterbacks with Greg Cosell. Plus, we've taken names that you've suggested and names associated with the Bills. We're going to get some takes from Greg Cosell on those names coming up in the draft as well. Greg Cosell, analyst and executive producer of NFL Matchup on ESPN, coming up next when we come back. Plus, more talk about the quarterbacks. Which quarterback do you not want to see the Bills draft coming up in 3 weeks? We'll talk about that and take your phone calls. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
The update from One Bills Drive. Visits coming reportedly this weekend for the Buffalo Bills, including quarterback Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. He reportedly visited had a private workout with the New England Patriots, and now Ian Rappaport of NFL Network says Rudolph will be visiting with the Buffalo Bills this weekend. The Bills, of course, with the 12th overall pick after their trade with the Bengals. Buffalo also with the 22nd pick. Rudolph also scheduling meetings with the Chargers, the Saints, Giants, Steelers, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Meantime, another prospect scheduled to visit with the Bills, Denzel Ward, cornerback from Ohio State, scheduled to visit the Buffalo Bills this weekend, according to reports. Former Bills wide receiver Jordan Matthews has signed with the New England Patriots, according to ESPN, a boost to a Patriots receiving core that lost Brandon Cooks to a trade earlier this week. Jordan Matthews limited to 10 games for Buffalo last season after struggling with injuries. He is only 25 years old. The NFL draft less than 3 weeks away. The league released a list of 22 prospects who will attend the draft this year, including quarterback Lamar Jackson from Louisville. A star-studded group of quarterbacks headlining the 22 players who will be on hand at the draft in Dallas, Texas, 3 weeks away. The Broncos signed former Raiders punter Marquette King to a 3-year deal yesterday. King says players play a lot better when they can let their hair down and be themselves, and he says that's the vibe he gets from the Denver Broncos. King agreed to a 3-year, $7 million deal with Denver, who continue to add players to their roster. Baseball, the Bisons' opening day game at Rochester today has been postponed because of weather. They'll try it again tomorrow, 3:05 at Frontier Field in Rochester. The Bisons' home opener is coming up next Thursday. Buffalo Sabres finishing their season. They take on the Lightning in Tampa tonight to open up the final road trip of the season. Sam Reinhart goes into tonight's game on a 4-game point streak, 6 points in those games. He's totaled 36 points in his last 36 games. Bisons at Tampa tonight, 7:30 faceoff. And the Masters underway. Of course, round two, Bernd Wiesberger is the current leader, 4 under par. He's through three holes today with a cluster of Americans just one stroke behind him. Ricky Fowler, Matt Kuchar among them. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio, talking a lot about the NFL draft over the last several weeks or so. And joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, executive producer, analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN, senior producer in NFL Films. Happy to have Greg Cosell with us. Greg, thanks for being with us here today. We have a Twitter poll out there today that I wonder, you think it's fair to ask Greg to answer this?
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking, people have been calling in for weeks, if not months, about which quarterback they want the Bills to draft. Greg, today we're asking folks, which quarterback do you not want the Bills to touch? Do you have any thoughts on that? Who would be the one quarterback the Bills might want to stay away from when you think of a fit for Buffalo and where we are and who the Buffalo Bills are? Anybody that doesn't really work for Buffalo, you think?
For, those questions to me are media fan questions.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're media and fan. We're media,
right,
and those are
not
fans.
Team football questions. You know, because every quarterback, see, here's how we have to look at the draft. Everybody would be a number one pick, right, if they didn't have some flaws, weaknesses, deficiencies that have to be worked on or that have to fit within a team in a certain way. So you have to look at so many things to decide, unless you think a guy just simply doesn't have the talent, and that's probably not the case overall with the guys who are being talked about. Mm-hmm. They do have the necessary talent to be considered in the conversation, but then there's so many variables that go into this that those questions to me, they don't mean anything to me. And I know they're fun, just like people like lists, but those questions don't mean anything to me.
I don't think he's going to answer the question.
No, though. I don't think so. It doesn't sound like he's answering.
That's all right, Greg. Let me ask you this. Josh Allen, we've had a lot of input on him over from several people, including from fans today. We've had people come on and tell us that Josh Allen doesn't react well to changes in the game, doesn't see things, maybe doesn't recognize blitzes coming his way. What do you think of Josh Allen's game awareness and his, you know, his eyes as you evaluate him,
yeah,
the Wyoming quarterback?
And I made that note myself. I think that's a concern. See, here's what you do with all these quarterbacks. And for instance, the way I talk about that, and I know different people talk about it differently, there are too many snaps in which Allen sees everything and sees nothing. And that's not good for a quarterback because you have to be able to eliminate and isolate as quickly as possible. But every quarterback has strengths and every quarterback has weaknesses coming into a draft. So here's what you have to decide. How can you maximize the strength? And can you coach up the weaknesses, or are the weaknesses things that will always be there? Those are questions for coaching staffs. Different coaches will see those things differently. So that comment about Josh Allen is true. So the question is not whether it's true today. The question is, can that be coached and changed, or is that a fatal flaw in his game? And you will get different answers to that question from different people.
You know, Greg, we've talked about this. I think we sat down and talked about this at the combine, you and I. And, you know, like you're saying, everybody has flaws. What you're the flaws, and I don't want to get into you trashing Josh Allen, but the flaws that you see in his game, like if it's accuracy, if it's him not being able to see things fast enough, are those things that can be corrected? Typically, are they things that can be corrected?
My answer to that would be yes and no, because now you're getting into field vision, which is something that a lot of people don't think can be corrected. They feel that people either see it or they don't, that you can work with it on the blackboard, you can work with it in practice, but then at game speed, if you don't see it at the speed at which is required, it's hard to play. And Allen, one of his issues is he is what I call a see-it, throw-it quarterback. He's not a real good anticipation thrower. That's not a strength of his game. So, as I said, you have to look at the pros and the cons. The way I've described Allen over the last month or so is I think he speaks to the distinction between arm strength and arm talent. His arm strength is off the charts. His arm talent in terms of touch, pace, anticipation, precise accuracy, those are all things he needs to work on. Now, coaches will love to coach this kid because they would feel that if you can work through these things, and that's an if you can work through these things, he could be a high-level quarterback. If you can't work through those things and they're fatal flaws, he could end up never playing at a high level in the National Football League and be out of the league in 4 years.
On the line with Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN, talking about some of these draft prospects, quarterback prospects. We had a guest on our show a couple of days ago, Greg, who said Lamar Jackson reminds him a little bit of Marcus Mariota. What do you think of that comparison?
That's an interesting one because, you know, when I look at Lamar Jackson, I may be a little higher on him than some people are because I think he can play quarterback in this league and I think he can do it, you know, reasonably well. I look at what Bill O'Brien did with Deshaun Watson, that kind of situation. The game has changed. The NFL game has changed, and people will call it more college concepts, Murph, but the game has changed with so much backfield action, so much misdirection. Reads are defined much quicker for quarterbacks. Sure, you do get to third and long, and then the situation does change, but overall, the game has changed to where you can run a lot of these so-called college concepts and define reads for quarterbacks much more quickly. And then you do have the explosive, spectacular running dimension. Not that he's going to carry the ball 20 times. He's not. But the fact is, if you have a team that has a good defense, that has a run game, and then you have a quarterback that can add to that with his spectacular dimension, his explosive dimension, then I think he can be a successful player. You're not going to draft Lamar Jackson and ask him to be precise in the five-step and seven-step pass game. That's not what you're going to do.
Now, Lamar, we were just talking about this, is a guy who wants to take off and run the ball. And now, playing football, anybody can get hurt, and so you're going to be worried about that. But your franchise quarterback, you know, it's not something that you really want him to take off and run all the time. You know Lamar is going to take off and run. Is that something that you're thinking about?
Well,
when you draft him, you got to make sure you have a good backup because he might get hurt.
Well, I would argue that he doesn't do that as much as people think because they see those highlights, Donald. I think when you watch tape of play after play after play, he does not just take off. Now, does he do that on occasion? Absolutely, because he's probably been doing that since he started playing football, and he's been very good at it. So therefore, that to him is a way to be successful. You know, Tom Brady doesn't do that. He's never done that, so that's not a way for him to be successful. Lamar does do that, but not the way people think. He doesn't just drop back and take off. In fact, I could show you numerous plays where there was pressure, and he actually sidestepped the pressure, kept his eyes downfield, and made throws. So I think there's a fine line there with Lamar Jackson. Maybe he will take off more if he sees pressure quicker in the NFL, which more often than not is the case. But I don't know if that's just built into his DNA the way people automatically think.
One more quarterback to ask you about, Greg, and that's Mason Rudolph, scheduled to visit Buffalo reportedly this weekend, part of their 30 visits with college prospects. What do you think of Mason Rudolph, and how accurate are the concerns that people have about him being sort of a system-oriented guy, had success in a certain system down there?
I think the key for Mason Rudolph to me is if you want him to be your quarterback, then you better make sure you have a big-time offensive line. He needs to be secure in the pocket. He's not very comfortable with people around him. He very much has the look of a 7-on-7 quarterback. He really looks the part when the pocket's clean. So you better make sure, if you want to draft him, that your O-line is really good, because his efficiency will drop dramatically when there are people around him. So again, it comes back to the same point we started with. It's what does the rest of your team look like, and what do you expect? What are the strengths? What are the concerns? That's a concern with Mason Rudolph. If there's bodies around him, he really has a hard time.
One more guy to ask you about, reportedly in for a weekend visit with the Bills, a cornerback from Ohio State, Denzel Ward. Your thoughts on him? Any thoughts on him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he fits the profile of the NFL man-to-man press cover corner. I mean, he played a ton of press at Ohio State. That's what they do. They featured mostly what we call cover one, that's man-to-man. They played a ton of cover three, which is zone, but on the outside it becomes man very often. So he's very used to that. The question with Ward is his size. He's just under 5'11". He's less than 185 pounds. So the question is, does that translate effectively on the outside in the NFL on a regular basis against the bigger receivers that now permeate the league? You have to decide that. That's the question you have to ask yourself. Ward has a big-time skill set as a press man corner. Can he do that against the bigger receivers in the NFL, or do you feel as if he has to move inside and become a slot corner?
Now, Greg, you always talk about this. Every team is going to see it different, but
yep.
Are you okay with drafting a guy, let's say top 15, to be a nickel corner on your team?
Would I be okay with that? You know, again, in an abstract world, probably not. But on the other hand, you have to evaluate players in this given draft, Donald, and if you think Denzel Ward is the eighth best player on your board, then, you know, then you have a decision to make. But, you know, I think of someone like Chris Harris in Denver. Now, Ward's a much twitchier, more sudden moving athlete than Chris Harris, but Chris Harris is small, and he played on the outside in Denver's base defense and then moved inside in their sub package. So Ward could perhaps do that. Last year in the NFL, 57% of all snaps came out of 11 personnel on the offensive side of the ball, meaning there were three wide receivers on the field. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 57% of the time he theoretically could be in the slot if you see him that way, and 43% he'd be on the outside. So I look at someone like Chris Harris. I think Ward, like I said, is a better moving athlete. So you could easily see Ward as an outside corner.
We're on the line with Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, going through some of the draft prospects. And we solicited some questions on Twitter from some of our listeners and followers. They wanted you to kind of break down some of these, Greg. And we want to start with a wide receiver we've talked about, DJ Chark. Original Dub 8 said, ask him about DJ Chark, SEC and 6'4" tall. What do you think?
Well, actually, he was 6'2 and 7/8 at the combine, and he was 199 pounds, but he ran a 40 and 4.34, and he plays fast. And the thing is you can't coach that kind of speed. And speed has always been a dimension that teams want. It's why Will Fuller was drafted 20th by the Houston Texans a couple of years ago, because that vertical ability is a dimension every team wants. It's a valued asset. Chark has shown that ability to get on top of corners and safeties and challenge the back end of coverage. I actually thought he was not bad working the intermediate levels with some route running nuance as well. He's an interesting guy who I think is going to end up, you know, and you know me, guys, I don't do mocks, but I think he'll end up getting drafted a little higher than might have been the case, you know, a month or so ago, not because people are changing their opinion of him, just because as coaches get involved in the breakdowns and the evaluations of players, they'll look at this dimension and think, hey, if we have a vertical dimension, that can change how defenses play us.
Now, Greg, where can he improve his game? I mean, why, if you have a guy who ran that time, a guy coming from the SEC, I mean, he has to have some flaws in his game. Everybody does.
For sure.
So where are his flaws?
The concern would be to defeat press coverage. He's very thin, very thin framed. There's no real physical presence to his game, Donald. You know, he's not the kind of guy that's going to defeat press and really work through a route against a real good man-to-man corner at this point. He has a tendency to be a little too upright when he releases off the line and give away his routes. So all these things, like I said, even when we were talking quarterbacks, no one comes in the league, you know, as a finished product. They're playing college football. This is now the NFL. So no one comes in as a finished product. Everybody has something they need to get better at.
Greg, another receiver that our followers on Twitter wanted us to ask you about from Central Florida, another wide receiver, Tre'Quan Smith. People wondering about him. Your thoughts on Tre'Quan Smith, Greg?
Yeah, he's a real interesting projection because he's got good size. He's over 6'1". He's 203 pounds, so he's got pretty good size. So he's a size, length, traits player, and he's got a playmaking dimension to him. When you watch him on film, he's a strider and a glider. You know, he may not be a burner. I think his 40 time was probably in the 4.5 range, but because of his size and his length, there's a smooth, accelerating look to the way he moves, and he did show a second gear as a vertical receiver. So I thought he had really good play speed. He kind of reminded me, and obviously Buffalo didn't draft this receiver, but I don't know if you guys remember at all, a receiver who came out last year from Texas A&M named Josh Reynolds. You know, a taller kid, a vertical kid, a strider. I think Smith is very much that kind of player.
He kind of reminds me of Alshon Jeffries, a strider, not the burner, but more of a striding type big physical receiver out there.
Yeah, I think he probably is a little better mover than Alshon, but he's kind of a straight line, linear route runner. He's a vertical guy.
Got a tweet from a follower, Bill Parrish, who wanted us to ask you about a guy on the other side of the ball, cornerback Carlton Davis out of Auburn. What can you tell us about him?
He's a really interesting, he's a fun guy to watch because that guy plays the game with an attitude. I mean, he's got size, he's got physicality, he's got really long arms. He's an attitude corner who's at his best playing press man. He gets up in your face. If he's playing to the boundary, and obviously the boundary is smaller in college than the NFL, but if he's playing to the boundary, the short side of the field, he will just shove receivers out of bounds. Now, he's got some flaws in his game. He's not very good in space. He's not very good playing off coverage. His change of direction is a little stiff. and that, you know, you maybe that can be coached, but his physical traits playing press man and his competitive toughness are, they really stand out on tape. He's going to be a real interesting guy to me to see where he's drafted, because if you want to line up and play press, then this guy I think can do that well.
Now, we got another tweet in, and this one is about Isaiah Oliver, a cornerback out of Colorado. What do you think about him?
Yeah, he's another pretty good size. There's a lot of, you know, it's funny. The corners are getting bigger because receivers are getting bigger, mm-hmm. and you've got to match up. So now you're dealing with Oliver, who's over 6 feet, about 200 pounds, another guy with long arms. So he's got a lot of traits to work with as well. He's another guy with good size, good length, pretty smooth and fluid movement. He's got some looseness in his hips. He can transition. I think he's got the skill set and overall traits to play in both a man-based scheme and a zone-heavy scheme. I think he's a guy that, again, all these guys need work, but I think that that he can fit. Now, one thing teams might question is his speed and his ability to stay on the inside hip of receivers running vertical routes. And I think teams will have to decide how they feel about that, how they want to play him.
Well, actually, about a running back, Steve Noble tweets in about the running back from Arizona State. Am I pronouncing it right? Kalen Ballage? Is that how I say his name?
Yeah, he's a big dude now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big man. And he looks big. I mean, he's not so big in terms of, I mean, he's 6'1 and a half, 228, which isn't in and of itself big, you know, but I mean, he looks big on tape. He's really well put together. He looks the part. I mean, he's a downhill runner. To me, you want to run him in what we call gap scheme run game, where guards pull, man blocking. You want him going downhill. You know, that's the kind of back he is. He showed some quick feet at times. He defeated some penetration at the point of attack, which is, for a back that size, is always a positive. He ran real well at the combine. I don't think he plays quite that way, but he's a big back with downhill ability. And he's decisive.
I want to flip it over to the defensive side of the ball for me, the last one. And this is Rashawn Evans, a linebacker out of Alabama. Huh. And a lot of people have him in the top five linebackers. What do you see in his game?
Oh, yeah, he's a good player on tape. I mean, he's going to be an interesting guy, I think, when all said and done. To me, he probably fits best in a 3-4, but he can play in a 4-3. I mean, he's one of those guys, I mean – he's got size. He's got movement traits. You know, to me, he's a 3-4 will, 3-4 weak side backer. But then I also wonder in a 4-3 if you could see him along the lines of a Bobby Wagner type player or a Deion Jones type player in Atlanta. I think he's that kind of player because he's got a lot of movement skills. He's a very good athlete. And what they did with him in Alabama, and I don't know if NFL teams will do this, Donald, is – they lined him up on the edge a lot as a blitzer, almost as an edge pass rusher, and he was pretty good at it.
Greg, we've just thrown six or seven names at you, along with the quarterbacks that everybody knows. How many prospects have you studied on tape at this point, 3 weeks away from the draft?
Probably about 200.
200?
Yeah.
When do you do with all this work, and how much you spend on each one of these players? How long?
Well, for me, I try to watch at least three games of each guy, sometimes more. And I'm watching the coaching tape, Murph. So, yeah. You know, I'm seeing every single play. I'm not seeing highlights. I try to watch at least three games, sometimes more, if I feel that it's necessary. With receivers, I'll watch games. Plus, I watch all their past targets. So if a guy catches 85 balls, I may be watching 145 targets. So I see him, all the routes he runs, the good, the bad. It takes time. I mean, I don't feel comfortable talking about a guy watching a highlight or seeing one game, you know, so I really try to go through this and I always end up being disappointed because there's more guys I want to see and more guys I want to watch and I never quite get to it all.
Yeah. Well, it's great work. You do great at it. Greg, thanks for spending a few minutes with us today. We hope to talk again in the weeks ahead. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Murph. Thanks, Donald.
Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst, NFL matchup on ESPN. And as he said, he is all over this draft, spending hours, countless hours. What did he say? 200 prospects he's looked at already.
200.
With 3 weeks to go in the draft. Pretty amazing.
Three games of each.
Greg said something interesting. We asked him about Lamar Jackson, the Louisville quarterback, got my attention, which is You know, people, he has fans here in Buffalo. I get it. I don't know if the Bills' brain trust will be fans of what Lamar Jackson can do. And in particular, when Greg said, Lamar Jackson, don't ask him to drop back. Don't ask him to be a, you know, five-step, seven-step drop-back quarterback. I have a hunch and actually recall Brandon Bean saying that's kind of exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
A five-step, seven-step drop-back pocket quarterback. Lamar Jackson may not fit the bill for what the Bills are interested in.
See, the biggest thing is, and the one thing Greg did say is, once the coaches get involved in the evaluation process, because you've been, as Brandon Bean and the scouting staff, you've been looking at all of these guys and you have a certain opinion on, look, this guy is a five-step, seven-step drop quarterback throwing from the pocket. This guy is not that guy. But once the coaches get involved, they're like, look, this is what we're running. So we might need a quarterback like a Lamar Jackson, or we might need a guy who's in the pocket, you know? So the biggest thing we don't know right now is what type of offense is Brian Daboll going to run.
Yeah.
We don't know. We know he was in New England. We know he was down at Alabama with mobile quarterbacks, you know? So we don't know what exactly he's going to run in this offense. So it's hard for us to say what type of quarterback or what type of receiver or what type of anything they want to have on the offensive side of the ball right now. And he could actually come into play when he's like, look, I need this type of quarterback to run this offense.
Yeah.
You know, so that's,
I remember that's our guest yesterday, Connor Orr, I believe he wrote, we talked to him about it, his piece yesterday, about 31 new coordinators in the league, what, seven or eight new head coaches. And now that the coaching staff gets to sit down and mesh with the scouting staff, a lot of these decisions and maybe the ultimate makeup of the draft board comes there. I just don't know that Lamar Jackson is a fit for what I believe the Bills want, based on what they've said.
But yeah, we'll I think they want something different. I think they like to have and the biggest thing that Greg is also saying about Lamar Jackson is he doesn't take off and run as much as people think he does.
Right.
Because all we see is the big highlights of him taking off and running with the ball. But when you watch the game film of him, he is in the pocket. You know, he will step up. He will slide side to side and do the things that you see a quarterback or a pocket quarterback really do. Lamar Jackson is really just dynamic with the ball in his hands. So, yeah, he's going to use his legs. And I would think that they want to have a quarterback who can throw from within the pocket, because you're coming off of a quarterback that couldn't necessarily make all the throws or wouldn't necessarily. He wasn't a pocket quarterback, right? So you got to believe they want something different there. But who knows? Brian Daboll might say, look, I can work with that guy. I just did it down in Alabama. This guy is dynamic. He can throw from within the pocket. He's not always going to take off and run. And maybe they will pull the trigger on Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, for me, is a wild card in this draft, because he can go anywhere from the top 10 back to the second round, in my opinion. I think once you get into the second round, somebody's going to pull the trigger on him. But you don't know what teams really think about him, you know? And so it's like you can see him going top 10 because the team loves him. They feel like they can fit him in the offense. You can see him sliding back to the second round because they're like, all right, we got to change the entire offense around. He might be a real project. We might not necessarily be able to use him right away as a full-time quarterback. So you can see him sliding all the way back to the second round, you know? So he's where he goes is going to be interesting to see.
Talking quarterbacks again. That's what we do. John Murphy, Donald Jones.
Yeah.
Want to hear from you as well. We've talked a lot about which quarterbacks the Bills might pick, the guys you'd love to see the Bills pick. Who do you think you do not want the Bills to select? That's our Twitter poll. Of the top projected quarterbacks in this year's draft, which quarterback do you not want the Bills to select? On Twitter right now, about half of you say do not draft Josh Allen out of Wyoming. 27% of you have somebody else in mind, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. 14% of you say do not draft Josh Rosen out of UCLA. 9% say do not draft Sam Darnold. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. We'll get to some more of your phone calls when we come back. 803-0550 and toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show.
Well, if you just joined us, you've missed a pretty good show so far. I anticipate it'll get better, Donald. You usually save your best for the second half of the show, don't you?
What are you eating?
There was some Chipotle chips in there.
It smells good.
Go get some.
I'm like, man.
Go ahead. I'll take over.
All right.
Go. You can go right now. Donald will be back in a moment. George in the other room has Chipotle trips that he offers.
Of course, George.
Yeah. I just had a couple. No salsa with them. There is salsa out there, though.
Yes,
go get it.
I'm about to say yes. Chips with no salsa?
No, there's salsa. Go ahead.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
You can go.
I don't need it.
Our Twitter poll today, we talked about it. Which quarterback do you not want the Bills to get this year? Give us a call. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Tom in West Seneca has a thought on this. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
John, Don, thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
From a fan's perspective, when I looked at the quarterback situation in the very beginning, I'm going on the premise that when a quarterback is a candidate for Heisman Trophy, that he must be pretty darn good. But after today's show here, Donald was mentioning about the accuracy at this Josh Allen, and that's a big negative with me. I have to disagree with Greg Cosell. I think that if you don't have the accuracy cannot be learned nor taught, and I think that would be a fatal flaw. So Josh Allen is out. The only two I can think of would be Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen, but with the concussion issue the way it is, I'm skeptical on him too. But like I said, the draft is still 3 weeks away. Somebody's got to make the decision. I'm glad it's not me. But we need a quarterback, a good quarterback, that's for sure. And like I said, it's foremost, I think it's the it factor. You either have it, the accuracy, or you don't. And if he doesn't have it, it cannot be corrected. If you can recall, Tim Tebow had a little bit of a problem getting rid of the ball. He had some bad habit. I forget what it was, some glitch. And, well, he clearly didn't make it in the NFL. That's it, guys. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tom. I like the way Tom's working through this. It's almost like the smart horse handicappers will tell you the way to do it is to eliminate the ones that you don't think will win first. You go through and cross out the ones. And it sounds like Tom and West Seneca is doing that. Working out the ones. I don't want him. I don't want him. All right, we're 3 weeks. I'm going to knock a few more off the list. That's
the only one left. Guess we got to take him.
Right.
He talked about Tim Tebow's flaw his arm was his big thing. He just had no arm. I mean, that guy was throwing. You see, he hit a home run yesterday. His first.
I saw that. Three-run home run?
Yeah, I think it was a three-run home run.
First at bat,
double A.
In Binghamton, right? Isn't he in Binghamton?
Is he in Binghamton?
Yeah, right down the road.
Oh, yeah. I take trips home. I should stop there.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is one way to do it, and that's kind of why we asked the Twitter question today. Who do you not want? Maybe it's time to eliminate one of these six from the Buffalo Bills board as a fan, not as a serious guy like Greg Cosell, who wanted no part of that question.
I think fans already eliminate him. Fans, in their minds, they eliminate him, like, automatically. I want Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Everybody else is eliminated.
I don't want Sam Darnold because he's USC. You know, that's how you work, right? That's how people do it.
Well, yeah, some people do. Some people say, well, USC quarterbacks haven't worked out in this league. And, you know, and I get that, why people would think about that. But for me, I wouldn't be on board with Josh Allen. For me, it's either Josh Rosen or Baker Mayfield. But that's just me. What are you, Murph?
I'm still open-minded. People accuse me of Josh Allen being my guy. No, I just think, you know, the fact that so many scouts have listed him as a potential number one and a guy belonging in the top two, yes, get your attention. Yeah, it's all about his size and his arm strength. Absolutely. That's an important factor. If I were, this is against what we're doing today on the show, Darnold would be my choice
right.
for the Bills or anybody else, number one. Josh Allen would probably be my number two.
So the first to come off, yours.
The takeaway, who I don't want him to see. Yeah. I don't want the Bills to see. I mean, do we count Mason Rudolph? I think so,
because you're sitting there at number 12.
Yeah.
And you might not be able to get the top four.
Mason Rudolph would not be my pick at 12. If you're 22 or later in the second round, if you're the Bills, I could see that. And Lamar Jackson would be my second to say, no, don't draft him. And probably the same scenario. At 12, no. At 22 or second round, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think I'm crossing out Lamar Josh Allen. I'm crossing out probably Lamar Jackson as well. I want a guy who and I know Greg is saying that he's not always taking off and he stands in the pocket. He can make plays from within the pocket, but I want that quarterback that knows how to step up, slide, make the plays from within the pocket on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
You know, I just want that guy. And I think I also do like to have a guy that has some attitude to him. That's why I'm on Baker Mayfield. He's accurate. He has that attitude with him. That's what I like about him. But Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, I take them off for other reasons.
Give us a call. What do you like, listener, viewer? Who do you not like, really? Which top quarterback do you not want the Bills to draft? 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Brad calling from Rochester. Go ahead, Brad. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. My mind changes, it seems like, every week with the flip-flopping. It's like I just want the draft to get here so I can finally do. But my question is, after hearing Cosell talk about Rudolph and Lamar Jackson, they're both completely different style quarterbacks. And the more you hear about him, you see highlights of Rudolph. He seems like he's just a sitting duck back there, unless you've got, like he said, a really good offensive line. So that scares me with him. A young quarterback, if he can't move and he's not mobile, he's going to get rattled real easy if he starts getting hit around, knocked around back there. And then Lamar Jackson, the escapability and making plays with his feet, like hence Tyrod did. Man, I mean, Tyrod's legs were more valuable than his arm at some points with us when he was here. And you can't beat having that dynamic from your quarterback where it can move and get out of there. So when I called you guys a couple weeks ago, it was Rudolph or Jackson. If the top four are gone, we have to pick one of them too. Do you think they would grab either of those guys at 12, or do you think they would think it's too early for them? And if you had to pick between Rudolph or Jackson now, which one would you take? You guys said Rudolph a couple weeks ago. Has your mind changed on either of those guys?
You want to go first, Donald, or do you want me to go?
I think 12 is too early for both of them.
I agree.
I think 22 is fine for both of those guys. So I'll start there and let you finish.
And I will say if I had to choose between those two, I would pick Jackson first, then Mason Rudolph. But I agree, 12 is too early. 22 is better. Mm-hmm. Second round is great for either one of them.
The second round is great,
yeah,
for both of them. If they're sliding, and it's going to be interesting, Lamar Jackson, because I think he could get to a point where, I'm telling you, I see him in a range, his wide range from the first all the way back into the second round. And so if he starts to slide, he can find himself sliding all the way back out of the first round into the second. And then teams will say, all right, let's, you know, day two, you might see him come off the board first in day two or something like that.
Yeah. Hey, here's a draft issue I want to get into with you a little bit, Donald, and we will get back to more phone calls about which quarterback you do not want. But now it's happened a couple of times here. We are in the workout area, you know, 3 weeks before the draft. The Bills reportedly have players scheduled to come in here, 30 players starting this weekend, including Mason Rudolph and a cornerback. Mm-hmm. There are also private workouts going on at college facilities or hometown facilities. Two players have been injured in these private workouts. We talked about Kentavious Street yesterday, NC State defensive end, Kentavious Street. Tore his ACL working out for the Giants in a private workout early this week, and he's going to be out for a while. And now Wisconsin quarterback Nick Nelson tore his meniscus. He's going to be out 3 to 4 months, a private workout for the Detroit Lions. Two players this week hurt and out for a while with injuries occurring in private workouts. It's safe to ask, what's the point of these private workouts? You know, you got a college career with all that tape. You got bowl games, all-star games, combine. You got your 30 visits here. What do you think's going on? And what do you, you're not happy about this.
I'm not. Private workouts.
Tell me why.
I'm not, because like you're saying, you had the film. And every scout, every coach will always say, we always go back. What's on the film is what matters. So if what's on the film is what matters, why do I have to work out for 15 different teams when I'm flying to 15 different places? Like, think about this. You got the college, you got the film, you have bowl games, you have the Senior Bowl, whatever bowl game you might play in, All-Star game, you have the Combine, you have your Pro Day. All of these different places, you're now, what else do you need to see from me? So now I have to, let's just say I'm a prospect, and I have to fly to 15 different teams, and I'm flying almost every single day to a different place, and I got to work out for 15 different teams. What are we talking about here? We all know that when you fly, it takes a toll on your body. So now I got to work out every single day. What's the point of it? What am I doing here that's going to be different than what I did at the combine, what I did at my pro day? You were at my pro day. You saw me. You were at the combine. You saw me. You saw me on film too. I think the NFLPA and the next CBA, this needs to be something that they need to look at. They need to make sure that these teams are not overworking these players, because you get to see them enough. There's no point of a workout in these private workouts.
Christian McCaffrey refused to do them last year.
Yeah, and I think you're going to start to see a lot more guys.
Like, he went eighth overall.
Exactly.
So they had no problem down in Carolina choosing him. Article we were reading about this today states specifically, the union needs to tell players to decline the workouts. Why do NFL teams do private workouts? Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports wrote this. Why do NFL teams do private workouts? Because they can. The teams right. feel like it's a good way for teams to indoctrinate players and let them know that when an NFL team asks them to do something, no matter how meaningless it is, they better do it. You really think that's what's going on here?
I do. I think that the PA needs to actually argue this in the new CBA and have it in there and don't put it on the players. Because if you're a player, and let's just say you have a fourth-round grade, now you're not that Christian McCaffrey. You're not that top guy. And so to be honest with you, when you're going into all of these different places, you don't want to be that guy that's like, no, I'm not doing that workout. It's because that could be the one team that falls in love with you. When you're a top 10 guy, you're talked about as being a first rounder, you know at some point you're going to get drafted. And you know teams love you regardless if you say, I want to work out or not. And so the PA needs to have it in the CBA and not put it to the players, because some players don't have the guts to go to a team and say, I'm not going to work out for you.
Prospects, Frank Schwab's article, prospects work out for teams because they worry if they don't, their draft stock will be affected. Word will get out that they're not cooperative.
Exactly.
That's exactly what you're saying. Yeah, it's as we said, Christian McCaffrey didn't do any workouts, didn't hurt him. But the question I have, you talk about the NFLPA, will they go to bat for these, undrafted. At that point, undrafted players who make no money and have no union dues paid yet?
That is a great
question. Because typically the NFLPA does not do that for anybody. Some would say they ignore the former players too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm a former player here. No, I think that that's a great question. Will they go to bat for these guys that are not in the NFL yet? That's a good question, because these guys are not paying dues or any of that stuff. And we all know ultimately it comes down to money. That's what they're going to go to bat for. The players that are in the league right now making more money, and the safety of the players that are in the league right now. But there has to be something done for the players that are coming into the NFL, because something like this can change your career and change the money that you're making. Think about it. If you're a guy who, let's just say you're a first rounder, and then all of a sudden you tear your ACL in a workout, and now you get drafted in the fourth round, you just lost out on millions and millions of dollars. If you're a fourth rounder, projected, and you tear something up, and now you end up in the seventh round or something like that, well, now you're truly having to make the team, and you might not ever play in the league, you know? So I think and you can't really count on the teams to do it, because ultimately the coaches are like, we can find somebody else. You know, we can draft somebody else. The coaches, they don't really care. Ultimately, they just want to make the guys work out, work out, work out. I want to see what you can do, and that's going to be it. They need to – the NFLPA side needs to make sure that they protect these players.
The corner, Nick Nelson, Wisconsin corner, going to be out 3 to 4 months after surgery, according to NFL Network. The defensive end, Gentavia Street, won't be able to play a rookie year.
Right.
They're saying, at least, the early indications are these two guys hurt this week in private workouts for teams.
And I'm hoping that you have these players start to see this stuff, just like you're seeing every year now, guys pulling out of their bowl games, because ultimately, and I know fans don't like it, but ultimately it is a business decision. If you have an opportunity to make a lot of money and change the outcome of your family, period, not just you, but generations to come after you, if you do the right stuff with that money that you're going to get, you don't get an opportunity to come right out of college and make, even at the minimum, if it's $400,000, you don't get that. Most people don't get that opportunity. When you come out of college, you're making $20,000-$30,000 or something like that. Right. So you get an opportunity to make this money, and others get that opportunity to make millions. But now all of a sudden, in a private workout, 3 weeks before the draft, you get hurt when you've now worked out 10 different times. You get hurt, and now all of a sudden you lose your draft stock.
One more question for you on this. You mentioned the PA, the union, has a role to play. What about the agents for these players? Shouldn't they be the ones to step up and say, no, thank you, we're fine, you got the combine tape? Yes. You got the game tape? Yes. You know, you played in the Senior Bowl? Yes. We're done. Thank you. Agents have a role to play here.
Yeah.
But they don't. They probably encourage these guys. Hey, the Lions want to work you out. You better do it. Can't you see agents doing that?
Oh, I know agents do it.
Yeah.
You know, I know agents do it. And agents are paid friends. Ultimately, agents, they want to get paid. And so an agent, if they're looking at it, they're like, all right, you better work out for this team, because maybe that's the team that drafts you, and then I'll get paid as an agent more money.
Maybe if you work out well, you'll be a third rounder instead of a fourth rounder.
Exactly.
More money for you,
which is going more money for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the agents, that's a whole – and that's why, for me, when you have players that are, like, holding out and all of that stuff for their money, it's like, get your money, because everybody else is trying to make money off you.
Yeah.
You got to get yours, and you got to take care of yourself. And it's hard for these young prospects that are coming in because they have so much pressure, and they're scared to say, no, I'm not working out for you. You know, Christian McCaffrey had parents that have done this stuff. They had the support system. A lot of these players don't. They come from different situations, and all they got is a family that's looking at them like, please get drafted so that you can take care of all of us.
Yeah.
Good points. It's a little different situation.
Good points. All right, we're going to take a break. More phone calls when we return. Want to know from you, which quarterback would you not touch among the premium quarterbacks available in this draft for the Buffalo Bills? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Back with more in a moment from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy and Donald Jones from One Bills Drive. Talking about barbecue.
Yeah, talking about barbecue. I got this tweet in that said, don't players have multi-million dollar insurance policies in case they get injured? Yes, they do have multi-million dollar insurance policies if they get injured. And the key thing is they never play in the NFL. It has to be career-ending injury for you to get that money.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. You don't want that?
No. Who wants that? I mean, you want to play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you have this insurance policy on yourself. And to be honest with you, the top guys, so like Saquon Barkley will have a $10 million insurance policy. That's probably nothing compared to what he's going to get paid.
Right.
Between endorsements, between, now, I don't want to say it's nothing because it's $10 million, but you want to play football. You don't want to have a career-ending injury in a pre-draft workout 3 weeks before the draft. That sucks.
We have spent several months listening to listeners and viewers talk about which quarterback they want the Bills to draft. Today we turn it around. Which quarterback do you not want the Bills to touch in the draft this year? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Trent calling from Rochester. Go ahead, Trent. You're on the air with us.
Guys, you guys are giving some great reasons why I believe that quarterbacks are going to slide. But to answer your question, to start off with, Mason Rudolph is the guy that I don't want them to draft at all.
Okay.
To my earlier point, I do believe that Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold are the only two quarterbacks that are going to go in the top five. Hmm. And I believe as we get closer to the draft, that the rest of the quarterbacks, because they have a lot of fundamental flaws, are going to drop. Now, if that happens and they fall past number 15, like I said, because I'm going against all these mocks, I got a proposition. If it happens, I want you guys to call me Negro Domus for 1 week, only because I want to be able to have your introduction. It's Negro Domus from Rochester on the line. It's funny to me. It's like Ostradamus and all of those guys. But I'm telling you, the quarterbacks are going to slide, and as we get closer to the draft, it's going to be very apparent that there's no way anyone's going to reach for him. So right now I'm against the grain and I'm going to stick by it. But as we get closer to the draft, everybody's going to start coming around to where I'm at.
We'll see.
Let me tell you something, Trent. That would be interesting if that happened where you only get two to go in the first round. I mean, in the top 10. Because, it's just all we know, well, at least the last few years, is the thirst for quarterbacks has really driven up. It's grown because you have teams that have been horrible or teams that haven't had a franchise quarterback in a long time, like the Buffalo Bills or like a bunch of other teams. Then you have teams that have had a franchise quarterback, but their quarterbacks are now old and about to retire in the next couple of years. So they're actually in that boat as well, trying to get a guy. I mean, there are so many teams that need quarterbacks. It's hard for me to see them actually slide, but you could be right, Trent.
Well, he could be. I read something, two things. I saw a headline today. Some draft analyst predicted three quarterbacks gone in the first three picks, which could happen. I mean,
yeah.
Secondly, Albert Breer, he's been a guest on the show, writes for MMQB, used to be with NFL.com. He wrote something that we have talked about, and I think he's onto something here, about the thirst for quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks early, is now really driven by the salary cap and this, the rookie salary cap.
Yes.
In other words, you draft a quarterback and maybe even live with a guy who's not great, not the guy that you wish had somebody better, but you're paying him basically a minimum wage NFL salary to play quarterback. In other words, people, Albert Breer's theory is, and we've talked about this. People are drafting the position, the quarterback position now early. You get the fifth year if he's first round too.
Right.
People are drafting the position, not necessarily the quarterback.
Like Blake Bortles.
Yeah. You know? Let's draft a quarterback because we'll have money to spend on other positions. Might not be, you know, the exact perfect quarterback we want, but we'll live with him with his faults. We'll coach him up as much as we can, and we will save money and spend it on other positions. We've talked about that a little bit.
Yes, we have.
And I think that's a pretty recent phenomenon in the NFL as a result of the last CBA, and the rookie salary cap and the rookie wage scale for players, including quarterbacks, and the fifth year is huge in the first round.
That's why
that could be what we're looking at here.
That's why Sam Bradford is still laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Because he's the last one to get $50 million guaranteed and hasn't really done anything in this league. Has shown some potential. And it's like, man, this dude can play. He's hurt again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like almost every year, every other year with Sam Bradford. But every time he gets another contract. He just got a $20 million contract. I mean, it's crazy. And so they do the whole new CBA to where now you're getting, $22 million as a quarterback. If you go number one overall, you get something like $22 million. It's nothing compared to 50 guaranteed.
Right.
You know, so it's just
something to think about when you make your projections about how many quarterbacks will go in the first round.
Yeah, teams are willing to pull the trigger on them.
Teams are drafting the position as opposed to the guy. Sometimes.
Before this CBA, it set your franchise back 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, now if you draft one and you miss, you're talking 2 or 3. You know, and you can go ahead and pull the trigger on another one. And then you also have this now, which is also comes into play. All of these trades,
yeah,
you know, because now it's like, all right, we can draft this kid. If he doesn't work out in 3 years, we can trade him somewhere else. We know there's going to be a team that wants
right.
a quarterback.
Wants
we can
him go on ahead that and contract.
Exactly. Yeah. Wants him on this low rookie contract. We can go ahead and trade him to that team.
Yeah.
So that's all of this stuff comes into play, which means that teams are willing to pull the trigger on these quarterbacks.
This might come into – this is probably a good place to start with our guest coming up after the top of the hour. Josh Norris, Roto World NFL draft analyst, also with NBC Sports. He's host of the Roto World Football Podcast. Josh Allen's going to join us when we come back after the top of the hour. We got an hour to go. Josh Norris, not Josh Allen. Josh Norris. Too many Joshes.
You don't say
Josh
that,
Rosen,
though.
Josh
People
Allen.
Are like, Josh Allen's going to be in the John
no,
Murphy
Josh
show?
Norris is coming up next, not Josh Allen. We'll get him. Got an hour to go with the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. Coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Snowy.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. Reports out there about some visits coming up this weekend for the Buffalo Bills. Quarterback Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State, reportedly, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, scheduled to visit this weekend with the Buffalo Bills. He's had a busy schedule. He had a private workout with the New England Patriots, reportedly, and also has scheduled workouts with the Chargers, the Saints, the Giants, the Steelers, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Bills with the 12th overall pick in their trade with Cincinnati. They also have the 22nd pick, and they have a needed quarterback, and Mason Rudolph reportedly going to visit the Buffalo Bills here in Orchard Park this weekend. Also reported that cornerback Denzel Ward from Ohio State will visit with the Bills soon. He has already met with the Bears. We have the 8th pick, the 49ers, who are number 9, and has pre-draft visits set up with the Browns and the Miami Dolphins. 3 seasons at Ohio State, Denzel Ward, 67 total tackles, 2 interceptions, 24 passes defense for Denzel Ward. Former Bills wide receiver Jordan Matthews all set to sign with the New England Patriots. Matthews played in just 10 games for the Bills last year with a series of injuries acquired in the August trade with the Philadelphia Eagles for Ronald Darby. He is a boost to a New England wide receiving corps that just lost Brandon Cooks to a trade this week and saw Danny Amendola get away in free agency. 22 prospects have accepted invitations to attend the NFL draft in 3 weeks, including quarterback Lamar Jackson, the former Heisman Trophy winner from Louisville. Bisons play at Rochester tomorrow now. Opening day postponed today because of weather. 3:05 first pitch at Frontier Field tomorrow in Rochester for the Herd. Their home opener is next weekend. Sabres closing out their season in Florida. They take on the Lightning tonight at 7:30. And at the Masters round two, Mark Leishman is the leader at 4-under par, 2-under today. Rafael Cabrera Bello is one stroke behind him, along with Henrik Stenson, as we are deep into round two. Tiger Woods on a par five, still not having much success. Another par on a par five. Five par fives this week for Tiger Woods and five pars. Tiger Woods usually eats up those par fives at the Masters, not doing it yet. Joining us as we continue on with Hour 3 of the show, John Murphy and Donald Jones. Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, NFL draft analyst from Roto World and NBC Sports, host of the Roto World Football Podcast. Happy to have our good buddy Josh Norris on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Josh, good afternoon. John Murphy and Donald here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're absolutely right. It's your good friend, Josh Norris. How are you?
It's good. It's good to hear your voice again. Hey, I want to. We finished last hour, Donald and I, talking about we discussed this as a trend coming up on our show a couple of weeks ago, and now I see people kind of reporting it around the league. I want to get your take on this. All the quarterback interest in this year's draft, Josh, and it's good. I mean, it's made it kind of an interesting run-up to the draft. How much of it is driven by the economics, the fact that you can get a pretty good quarterback, a quarterback you might be able to live with, on the rookie wage scale and have them for potentially 5 years as you get them in the first round? In other words, I've heard people say that teams are drafting the position now, the quarterback position, not necessarily the quarterback. Do you buy that? Have you heard that theory before?
I think it's both reasons. I mean, I think you have to like the quarterback in order to draft him, and that's super simplifying it. But I absolutely agree with both of you that it opens up an automatic window to win, right? Like, having a good quarterback under the rookie scale allows you to pay everyone else. You're looking at the Rams right now. You're looking at the Eagles right now. I mean, you're looking at when Seattle was dominant with their defense and how they could pay everyone. It's because they were paying Russell Wilson nothing. So I absolutely agree with that. But I also believe firmly that teams need to identify which quarterback they think will work the offense that they want to. And that's what makes this class so interesting, is that you have four or five quarterbacks that offer very different flavors and types.
Are you on a train, Josh?
I live on the train track.
Oh.
I mean, I am a football writer who lives in Connecticut, so this is what I can afford.
Wow. Gotcha. No, I just heard the train whistle.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's put it this way. Even Josh Allen could hit the train tracks from where I live. How about that?
Josh Allen, huh? Well, Josh, since you brought up Josh Allen, what are your thoughts on Josh Allen? So many people, I mean, you get a wide range of opinions on Josh Allen. You hear coaches and scouts say he could be number one overall, and then you hear people talk about his accuracy. So what's your thoughts on Josh Allen?
I think he's a pedal-to-the-floor player. I don't think there's any touch, any finesse, any, like, nuance to his game. His best throw is when he's rolling to the right and throwing it along the sideline 45 yards on a rope. There are plays that only he can throw that he makes. Maybe two or three other quarterbacks can do it. And then on the next play, that's a simple tunnel screen, he completely misses it, and I could make that throw, you know? Who knows, like, if his footwork has improved, he says it has during the process. All I can say is I'm comfortable in my evaluation of him based on what he's done the last 2 years, and it's not an overly positive one. He's just not my type, right? But I can absolutely point you to 5 or 10 throws a game that NFL GMs or decision makers will put up in front of their group and say, hey, this is why we're drafting him. We'll make him do this consistently. But again, I just don't see the complete package, play after play after play, consistency, what I can count on.
Josh Norris, where does Josh Allen rank in your quarterback listings? You said he's in the top five. How do you rank them, and where does Allen wind up in that group?
He'll be fifth. He'll absolutely be fifth. And
wow.
I have Josh Rosen 1, Sam Darnold 2, Baker Mayfield 3, and then Lamar Jackson 4, followed by Josh Allen.
Wow. Why is Josh Rosen your top-rated quarterback?
I just know what I'm going to get. He's a what-you-see-is-what-you-get type. And honestly, John, I think it goes back to his days of playing tennis, as weird as that sounds, in terms of the repetition, right? Quarterback is repetition in terms of your drop, your release, your motion, everything like that. And he's the easiest evaluation in this class. Now, what might come back and be and I also think he sees the field the best in this group as well. What might come back to be a potential fatal flaw is his lack of athleticism. He's kind of immobile. And when you look at quarterbacks across the league, young quarterbacks that are successful, maybe outside of Jared Goff, they are mobile. They have athleticism to their game. And maybe it's already come back to hurt Josh Rosen in the past, right, in terms of the shoulder injury, the two concussions that he suffered that are at least on listed that we know of. But, again, Josh Rosen from a play-after-play cycle and standpoint and understanding what he's supposed to do and recognizing the open receiver and getting the ball to him, I think he's the easiest evaluation in this class.
In fact, Josh Norris, on your recent draft decisions posting on Roto-World for the Buffalo Bills, you have Josh Rosen as Buffalo's first-round draft pick, right?
I do.
How far do they got to move up to get that?
It's a fair question. And first, let me say the reason I think he might be a pick over someone like Baker Mayfield is, and this is just super simplifying it, and I don't know what's going on in that draft room, but you look at the quarterback that they've dealt in Tyrod Taylor. Meanwhile, you look at the quarterbacks they've acquired in recent years in Nathan Peterman and A.J. McCarron, and if that doesn't that might kind of show their hand in that they want a pure pocket passer to build around, right? And Josh Rosen is that in this class. I'm not saying other quarterbacks can't succeed from the pocket, but of those that fits that label the most, it is Rosen. Now, where do they have to move up? That's a major question. A major question is also, does a team want to move out of the top 10? Even when I'm compiling my rankings right now, there's a big drop-off after player 8, 9, or 10. And so do the Browns want to move out of pick number 4? That's a major question. Do the Giants want to move out of pick number 2? I mean, Dave Gettleman has never traded down in a draft that he's been the general manager of. So I think, and I'm sure you have suggested the same, the Bills are really working to move up in the class, but it'll equally take a team to want to move out that far because a drop to 12 is pretty substantial.
Yeah. You know, Josh, it's interesting because you have Josh Rosen really as your number one prospect ranked as your number one prospect in this draft, which is interesting to me because then you have Quentin Nelson, the interior lineman from offensive lineman from Notre Dame, and then Saquon Barkley, number 3.
Right.
And so those three right there are really interesting to me. And I know for me, Saquon Barkley is probably the number one prospect in this year's draft. But why not? Why even Quentin Nelson in front of Saquon Barkley?
It's an absolutely fair question. And let me go 1, 2, 3. The reason I have Rosen number one is if I firmly believe a quarterback is going to be a quality starter, I think he transcends the board. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then with Quentin Nelson, and this might be somewhat surprising, and I understand that Saquon Barkley is going to be a great player, but when you look at where the NFL tells the truth, it's through their wallet, okay? And Justin Pugh, the guard now for the Arizona Cardinals, is making more money in his second contract than any running back in the NFL on a per-year basis other than Le'Veon Bell, okay? So the NFL values interior offensive linemen now more than running backs. I think Saquon Barkley, again, is an outstanding prospect. He's not completely perfect. He tends to, if there's a 1 yard to gain, there are times that he plays the hokey pokey in the backfield and will lose 2 or 3 yards, but you live with that because he's so good at creating on his own. But I do have Quentin Nelson as a superior prospect, but just ever so slightly.
Saquon Barkley, you compare in your NFL comparison to David Johnson of the Cardinals. Right. I think many people believe he's going to be much more than that in the NFL, Josh.
Oh, don't give David Johnson a hard time. David Johnson is an awesome player, and the reason I make that comparison is because David Johnson was more of a receiver than a runner coming out of school. Plus, he was an extremely good athlete, like tested the 95th percentile. That's a very similar game to Saquon Barkley. Neither was, you know, necessarily a comfortable runner at all times, like I just mentioned, when picking up those tough 1 or 2 yards when you have to. But where they excelled was in one-on-one matchups out in space and when given a lane, and plus as a receiver. And as we know, and Donald for sure knows this, when you look, and this is simplifying it, when you look at where the NFL is going, receptions are being taken away from wide receivers. Receptions are being taken away from tight ends, and receptions are going to running backs. And that's where Saquon Barkley can absolutely thrive.
We're with Josh Norris, Roto-World, NBC Sports NFL draft analyst. We talked about a lot about Josh Allen, Wyoming, from you. We talked a lot about Josh Rosen. Give me your thoughts on Baker Mayfield, and he ranks pretty highly on your list of potential quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah, I like Baker Mayfield. I do. I think the biggest issue with his game was a similar question I had with Deshaun Watson. I like Deshaun Watson as well. But they both came from teams that were just absolutely dominant, okay? Like Deshaun, when he was at Clemson, played behind an outstanding offensive line that really shut down Alabama in multiple games. And he also threw to an awesome wide receiver in Mike Williams and in a very good running game and a very good tight end. It's a very similar situation that Baker Mayfield is coming out of. But what Baker excels at, just like Watson, is when things break down, he also has a playmaker mentality. He doesn't drop his eyes. He keeps his eyes up. He evades a pass rush. I mean, if you go back a couple years ago and watch his game against Tennessee, he avoided six or seven sacks that any other quarterback would have taken. So if a team wants, you know, the quick passing game when inside of structure, but also a quarterback that doesn't mind holding onto the football longer than necessary and trying to find receivers at multiple levels of the field while evading the pocket, escaping the pocket and creating throwing lanes, that's Baker Mayfield's game.
Josh, the quarterbacks, it's interesting. You got a top 50 big board that went up a week or so ago on Roto World. We talked about Allen and Norris and now just Baker Mayfield. Sam Darnold is your 21st ranked prospect in this year's draft. Baker Mayfield is 22nd. Lamar Jackson is 23rd. Mason Rudolph is 50th. All of these guys are going to be in the first couple of rounds of the draft, right?
They are. And again, and this is tough to explain here, but the reason that there's a grouping in that second tier with Darnold, Mayfield, and Jackson is because I really think quarterbacks should be ranked in a different board completely. But in this scenario, they are placed there because they fall after all the first-round grades for me, okay, and they go above all the second-round grades as well. But again, and the reason they can be so close is just they're totally different types, you know? They're totally different flavors, and they offer different skill sets, different fatal flaws, and different offenses they most likely succeed in.
Now, Josh, I want to talk to you a little bit about a guy who, if the Bills can't get a quarterback, if they can't find a trade partner, get a quarterback, they have to sit there at number 12. We've been talking about it. I think linebacker would be strong.
Yep.
It would be a strong position that they might go. And so there are a lot of different linebackers that are really good, but I think the best one is Roquan Smith. I think you feel the same way.
Oh, I do. Roquan is a plug-and-play guy. And I totally agree with you. Just from watching Sean McDermott's time in Carolina, he obviously valued linebacker play. And the linebackers really didn't take off until they drafted Starla Tulele and Kawan Short, right? And now the Bills have Starla Tulele, and what the Bills need to do is add on to their athleticism at linebacker. And that's absolutely Roquan Smith. It's also Tremaine Edmonds, and it's also Leighton Vander Esch and a few other names. But Roquan is, you know, he's smaller than those other guys. I'm not going to say he's small for NFL linebacker standards now. What he's so good at is anticipating, playing ball carriers at the line of scrimmage or even getting ahead of them on outside runs or inside runs and making plays in the backfield as well. Plus, he can work in coverage. So an every-down linebacker is a plug-and-play starter and becoming more and more important as running backs are becoming receiving options in the NFL.
Josh, in the year or so I've known Sean McDermott, he's never verbalized this, but I know he loves Luke Kuechly. Which of those first-round type linebackers would most resemble a Luke Kuechly, would you think?
Yeah, for sure, Roquan. Now, I'm not going to say he's on Luke Kuechly's level, but they are more similar types. Just mentioning Tremaine Edmonds, I mean, he's 6'5", 255 pounds. Like, we rarely see linebacker prospects of that size, and he's an effortless mover. The issue with him is he overruns running lanes. He doesn't necessarily anticipate. He kind of relies on his athleticism. Same thing with Malik Jefferson in the second or the third round out of Texas. But Roquan plays within himself. He calls out designs and personnel groupings and formations before the snap is actually called. Again, I'm not calling him Luke, but of someone in that caliber of player potentially, it'll be Roquan from his class.
Now, what about Vander Esch, the kid out of Boise State? I mean, I see him going somewhere later in the first round. He's another big linebacker who can run sideline to sideline. What do you think about him?
It's kind of exactly that. I think he can be hesitant. I think he doesn't necessarily use his massive size. Again, he's one of these 6'4", 250-pound linebackers as well. He's the best athlete of this linebacker group, but I'm uncertain that he can come in immediately, understand, and make the calls and checks at the line like a linebacker needs to do, or even call the play from the huddle. But I absolutely agree with you that he's going to go in the first round. Again, he and Edmonds are kind of these ball of clay types that NFL coaches need to earn their paycheck of, and I think they'll believe that they can. But none of them are these complete packages like Roquan is right now.
Josh, we're less than 3 weeks away from round one of the draft. I woke up today worried that maybe Donald and I, me especially, have focused too much on quarterbacks, and that's what we got talking to you earlier on about, you know, the incentive to draft a quarterback because of the rookie wage scale. Maybe there's a lot more hype of those of us here in the media to talk about quarterbacks. But how does this 2018 quarterback class rank in terms of recent quarterback classes? Are there really more than one or more than a couple special talents in here who are going to change a franchise fortunes in the future?
The only answer I can give you is I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm just being honest. What's different about this group is that, you know, instead of two names or three names that might go in the first round, we'll have four at least. We might have up to six. And, again, they aren't your strict pocket passers. They aren't your strict athletes. They're a mold and a combination of all of those things. And all of them came from, you know, big-time programs that won, right? So it's not like we have to have a massive projection like we did necessarily with a Carson Wentz or with a losing record like a Jared Goff or a Paxton Lynch coming out of Memphis, right? These theoretically should be easier evaluations. I'll tell you that they're not, and that no one necessarily knows how to perfectly evaluate the quarterback position, but it's what's going to make the next month so much fun.
It is going to be fun. And I would imagine it's going to be fun at Roto World. You've got your top 50 list up, you and Evan Silva combined on your Bills draft decisions. Roto World's going to be a great place to check in with over the next 3-plus weeks, I would think, Josh.
Absolutely. We got the Roto World Football Podcast as well. I appreciate you shouting us out. You know, we got everyone on news at all times and the 7-round mocks for every single team out there listening. So I appreciate you having me on, John.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Norris, NFL draft analyst for Roto World and NBC Sports. His top 50 board, big board is up, has been up for a week or two, and he and Evan Silva teamed up on their draft decisions board for the Buffalo Bills. Say the Bills need a quarterback. That's nothing new. Yeah. But he's got Josh Rosen going to the Bills. That's kind of new. That would take a big move up the board, you would think.
They also have the Bills at quarterback in terms of position need, quarterback, receiver, cornerback, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Linebacker's not even in there.
We should probably spend more time on corners over the next few weeks, right?
Yeah. We should talk to Greg. We should
get to Greg on that. Yeah. We'll get him next week. We're back with more in a moment. You're welcome to join us. Which of the premium quarterbacks do you not want to see on the Buffalo Bills? We'll talk about that on the phone, 803-0550. And toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. Donald and I back with more, including NFL True or False. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy and Donald Jones here until 3 today. Weekend coming up, half hour away. Donald, you ready, right?
I am, but the issue is I pulled my earpiece out.
You can't hear me or you can't hear? Because I'm going to take some calls here.
I can hear you. I wouldn't be able to hear him. But go ahead. I'll catch up.
Which quarterback do you not want for the Buffalo Bills? We've heard from a lot of you who you do want over the weeks and months, and we're 3 weeks away from the draft. Who you say, no, back away. Don't go anywhere near him.
All right.
Who do you think? Give us calls, 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Terry calling from Hawaii. Aloha, Terry.
Aloha. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I know this sounds overly pessimistic, but I wouldn't go for any of the guys that are currently ranked in the top four.
None of them.
I think they're way too many risks, and it's not worth mortgaging the future. When we got one guy that could be the next Johnny Manziel in Baker Mayfield, Rosen, I think, is probably the most talented but the most delicate. He's already had two concussions and a shoulder injury. Sam Darnold, despite what everyone's saying that you can train things away, I don't think Leopards change their spots. I think he's going to throw a lot of interceptions. I think Cleveland will actually shy away from him with their first pick. And Josh Allen is Jamarcus Russell Mark II. So wouldn't go for any of those guys. But anyway, thank you.
So where would you go, Terry, before you hang up?
Sure.
Where would you go in the draft? Who would you take, number 12?
If we were at 12, you know, it's honestly, I would, if we could get Roquan Smith or a linebacker or the top cornerback, honestly, I'd go for that because, and I know that there's not a lot of Tom Brady sitting there in the round six, but any of the guys that you get in the late 20s, I think have just as good a chance of long-term success as the top four guys.
Okay. Thanks, Terry. No, that's fine. And I understand that.
Thank you.
I understand that. Look, and I think about the draft every day. You do too.
Right.
I come up with different ideas, read different things, watch different video, think about different things, and wonder if guys like Terry are right that none of them are really worth the big move up the chart. Maybe the Bills feel that way already, you know. I feel going back, the signs that I look at are these. The Bills made a trade on day one of the draft last year to get a second first-round draft pick, indicating that they think this is a good quarterback draft, I believe. They made a couple of trades and moves since then, which I think further that indication. They think they need draft capital. The Bills dealt away their starter for the last 3 years, which not just opens a position up, but I think puts them in position to draft a future franchise quarterback. In other words, the signs to me are the Bills are interested in moving up, getting one of these premium draft picks. And I've been operating on that assumption since last draft day, really.
Draft day the movie came out.
Yeah. that long. But I have been operating on that assumption. Could be wrong. Maybe changed already. Maybe it will change in the next 3 weeks. But I don't think so. I think they want a quarterback, and I think they want to get one of these premium quarterbacks.
Yeah, all signs point to them trying to get one. All signs do point to them trying to get one. I think really the signs pointed to them trying to get one when they did not take one last year.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to believe that they're going to try their best to get one of the top four, and if they can't, then they'll still get one at some point. Whether it's the first round, second round, third round, they're still going to get one in those top three rounds. I think there's going to be a quarterback to come off the board. It's just going to be, can they trade up to get one? If not, then what do you do at that point?
Let us know what you think. The Bills, I'm sorry, I had to sip some water. Losing it. What the Bills, which quarterback you do not want for the Bills this year? Bill calling from Buffalo. Go ahead, Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, great show today, man. The guy that I'm staying away from is Josh Allen. I'm concerned with the fact that he can't read the field, can't read a defense well enough, et cetera. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we got rid of Tyrod Taylor, in my opinion. Another guy I kind of want to stay away from and everybody likes is Sam Darnold. He fumbles it too much and throws too many interceptions. And the one that perplexes me why he's kind of not getting any respect is Josh Rosen at this point.
Well, he's not getting a lot of respect.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's...
Well, it seems he's dropped from, like, the number one guy in the beginning here to kind of fourth, fifth, maybe third, who knows. And I kind of like the guy, and I think that he'd be a real nice fit for this team. And I'd either go for him or Mayfield, but I wouldn't give away the farm for either one of them. I don't like the fact that giving away two first-round draft choices and a second, I'd maybe give around two first-rounders and give Cleveland back their third-rounder might make sense to me for trading up for one of these guys possibly. Or staying where we are and taking what we got, and who knows what we got with A.J. McCarron, because he might turn into something really good too.
He might. I mean, this is what we know about A.J. McCarron. He started four NFL games. He started a playoff game. He's a former fifth-round draft pick. And played behind Andy Dalton, who has, I think, safe to say, some holes in his game, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what we know about A.J. McCarron. Are the Bills going to get lucky in some spectacular way with McCarron? They could. I hope so. I just don't know if you can count on that.
I think they're going to take one, I think. And I've been saying this. In a perfect world, A.J. McCarron lights it up, and you got a rookie that comes in here, and he's pretty good, too, but he has some flaws in his game. And so you go ahead with the veteran because the veteran beats out the rookie in camp. And next thing you know, you got a couple of good quarterbacks on your team, maybe three, maybe Nate Peterman. This is the crazy thing because Nathan Peterman is still on the roster.
Sure he is.
You know, and I think they still believe in Nathan Peterman. He's going to get a shot. That doesn't mean they're not going to draft one, but I think all three of those guys will compete once we get to training camp.
One more call before we get to true and false. Let's go to Chuck in Amherst. Go ahead, Chuck. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Don. Hey, it's my first time calling, a long time listener. Thanks. But you know what? Dallas Jones was talking about we need some weapons.
Yeah.
And the fact that what about using our offensive line as a weapon? Because you know, the coach and the general manager, they got a system going on, and let's go from there. I would just stay pat where we are, and then improve that offensive line, like the electric company, the K-Gun offense, Billy Shaw back in the day. So let's emphasize on that, because we do need an offensive line.
Well, yeah, we were talking about that during the break, Chuck. You're almost like you're listening in. About the guard, the Notre Dame guard,
that
right?
The room is tapped in there. I told you that before.
The Notre Dame guard regarded as one of the top five prospects in this year's draft.
I'd be shocked if that's where they went.
Me too. I don't think people would be happy. Many people. Chuck might.
There'd be some upset people in Buffalo.
Hey, speaking of people in Buffalo, how about NFL true or false? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
This is where we take a look at some of the top stories going on in the league, and Donald and I declare whether we consider them true or false. NFL true or false, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Baker Mayfield, quarterback, former Oklahoma quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner last year, is not going to attend the NFL draft in 3 weeks. He appeared on SiriusXM show a couple of days ago. The question was put to him, will you be there for the draft? Mayfield, quote, I will not. I will be home in Austin, Texas with my family and former coaches. That the league would want you there, right? Mayfield, oh, yes. There's pressure being put on that decision for sure. Baker Mayfield should attend the NFL draft. True, false? Mr. Jones, I give you the courtesy of going first.
I'm going to go false on that one.
I am too, and I didn't want to agree with you, but go ahead.
Well, you don't want to be with, you don't agree with me?
It's kind of like rooting against your favorite basketball team. I'd rather do that.
Yeah,
you know how that goes.
Well, I'm going to go false on this one just because, look, you when you're Baker Mayfield and anybody in the draft, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. And you've seen guys slide in the draft and they're sitting there thinking they're going to be in the first round. They slide to the second round. Then what? I got to come back on day two? I don't want to do anything like that. I don't want to look stupid. That's one side of it. The other side is maybe I just want to be with my family at home and enjoy this moment with my family. So I don't really care what noise is coming, what pressure from whoever, media, fans, oh, you should go, you're invited. I don't care. I want to enjoy this moment with my family like Joe Thomas went fishing.
I'm going to disagree with you, but mostly because I want to disagree with you. Secondly, right. Because here's the case why Baker Mayfield should attend. It's an honor to be drafted in the NFL, an honor to be invited to be one of 22 prospects attending the draft. It's a small price to pay. Look, Baker Mayfield's got to figure, I'm going in the first round. I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'm not going to sit there forever. If he doesn't think that, then he's foolish. Josh Allen's going. Sam Darnold's going to sit there for the draft. Lamar Jackson has a chance of not being selected on Thursday night in the draft. Josh Rosen's going. Does Baker Mayfield think he's better than that group, more important than that group? He should attend the NFL draft. That's not too much to ask.
I don't think he's better, or I don't think he thinks he's better. I think he is looking at it from two different angles. I'm not sure where I'm going to end up, and I think the other side of it is I want to spend this time with my family. And I can't have everybody in my family in the green room, in the draft room. And so I'd rather be at home, chilling on the couch, everybody around, and
with
we enjoy
ESPN
it that way.
And Fox
well,
cameras
yeah, you're
all
have
over
all
the house.
Those cameras at the house. But at least the entire family can enjoy this moment and not just five of us, or however many people can actually be.
We disagree on that. Here's another draft question involving a quarterback. Mason Rudolph, Oklahoma State, will go in the top half of the first round. According to CBSSports.com, they think the Browns will take Sam Darnold number one, Josh Allen to the Jets. They got Mason Rudolph going in the top half of the first round.
You want to go first?
Yeah, because I want to disagree with you, and I think we're going to agree. No, I think that's false. He could go in the bottom half of the first round. He could go to the Buffalo Bills in the bottom half of the first round, but no, he's not going in the top half. He's just not good enough. And that, I mean, what are we saying? Top 16 picks? How many quarterbacks are going to be drafted in the top 16 picks?
Right.
Four, five, six? That's a lot. I say false on this one.
Well, I'll go true on this one just to disagree with you.
Even though you know it's not true.
Yeah, even though I know it's not true, but I'm going to go true on this one. Reason being, he has the size of a prototypical quarterback. I know he's coming from that offense at Oklahoma State, but he's a big quarterback. He has a big enough arm to get it done. And ultimately, all you need is one team to fall in love with you. And maybe that one team is in the top half of the first round, and so you see him come off the board before you see one of those other guys that we all believe is going to come off the board.
Here's the one. This is the money, true or false.
All right.
You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Manziel appearing on the Dan Patrick Show on Wednesday. Manziel thinks the Cleveland Browns, his first NFL stop, should have this is amazing. He thinks the Browns should have realized that he did not dedicate himself to film study or preparation. The quote from Johnny Manziel, if Cleveland did any of their preparation, they would have known I wasn't a guy who came in every day and watched film. I wasn't a guy who really knew the X's and O's of football. Johnny Manziel says the Cleveland Browns are to blame for his failure in the NFL.
Yo, what do, I mean,
go ahead. True, false. You know it's false.
Yeah,
we got to agree on this.
We got to agree on this.
He
one.
Blames
this
the Browns. They should have known I was a total screw up.
Yeah,
how did
right?
they not know I was not going to watch film and not practice hard and not pay attention and get pulled over and maybe have a little domestic violence incident involving my girlfriend? They should have known that before they drafted me.
Exactly.
Really?
What are we talking about here? I mean, yeah. False on this one. No, this is all on Johnny Manziel. Yeah, should they have done some homework? Maybe. I'm pretty sure that they did enough homework on him, though. They felt comfortable enough. I don't see a team drafting somebody and not doing their homework on a guy.
Look, I think it was a bad pick from a football
right.
sense.
That's all it was a bad pick.
But you can't blame the team that drafted you for not knowing that you weren't going to work at it. Can you? Work at it. That's the answer. This is why, you know how we were talking the last couple of days about we're both kind of rooting for RG3 to turn it around?
Yeah, yeah.
This is why nobody in this room, and maybe many rooms, is rooting for Johnny Manziel to get a second chance.
No.
That kind of attitude.
And I don't understand. He's talking about, I want to play in the NFL again. But then you come out and say something like this. They should have known. Then you're going to blame them for not knowing. What are we talking about right now?
Unbelievable.
You don't want to play in the NFL anymore.
He's playing spring league. I think he's down in Texas on some spring league roster.
Yeah.
We should get somebody. We asked him on the show when he first signed.
You know, that's another reason why I feel like that's another reason why I'm not rooting for him, because he ditched us on the show.
Johnny Manziel blames the Browns for his failure. No, can't do that. All right, NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. We
that's
disagreed
crazy.
On two of the three. That's good.
That's just crazy. That's like if your kid is like, Dad, you should have known that I wasn't going to clean my room.
It's your fault.
Yeah, it's your fault. You should have known I wasn't going to clean my room today.
Crazy.
What?
All right, we're going to take a break. We're back with more. We may be able to work in a couple of phone calls or more. If you have thoughts on this, which quarterback do you not want to see the Bills get near in the draft in 3 weeks? 803-0550, the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Greg Cosell joined us 1 o'clock today, as he does on every Friday virtually at 1 o'clock. Greg Cosell talked a lot about the quarterbacks and some of the other prospects in the draft, including Wyoming's Josh Allen. Cosell did a pretty solid breakdown of Josh Allen. Strengths and weaknesses for us today.
There are too many snaps in which Allen sees everything and sees nothing. And that's not good for a quarterback, because you have to be able to eliminate and isolate as quickly as possible. But every quarterback has strengths and every quarterback has weaknesses coming into a draft. So here's what you have to decide. How can you maximize the strength? And can you coach up the weaknesses, or are the weaknesses things that will always be there? Those are questions for coaching staffs. Different coaches will see those things differently. So that comment about Josh Allen is true. So the question is not whether it's true today. The question is, can that be coached and changed, or is that a fatal flaw in his game?
Good questions from Greg Cosell about Wyoming's Josh Allen. We had Josh Norris on from Roto World earlier this hour, draft expert. He talked about Georgia linebacker Roquan Smith and how he is by far the top linebacker in this year's draft class.
Just from watching Sean McDermott's time in Carolina, he obviously valued linebacker play. And the linebackers really didn't take off until they drafted Starlet Tulele and Kawan Short, right? And now the Bills have Starlet Tulele, and what the Bills need to do is add on to their athleticism at linebacker. But Roquan is you know, he's smaller than those other guys. I'm not going to say he's small for NFL linebacker standards now. What he's so good at is anticipating, playing ball carriers at the line of scrimmage or even getting ahead of them on outside runs or inside runs and making plays in the backfield as well. Plus, he can work in coverage. So an every-down linebacker, is a plug-and-play starter and becoming more and more important as running backs are becoming receiving options in the NFL.
Josh Norris from Roto World. You know, Donna, we got a couple of weeks to the draft. 3 weeks from today will be rounds 2 and 3. The Bills are going to get a quarterback. I think we know that. But, man, when you hear and watch the video and listen to people talk about some of these guys, Roquan Smith, some of the other linebackers, some of the wide receivers, I'm thinking, I want to get involved with those guys, too. It's, you know, we've so focused on quarterbacks. I know we both feel it, but there are other good players here.
Roquan Smith is exciting to watch. I watched a game of him, and I watched a regular season game, and then I watched the playoff game when they played Oklahoma. Yeah. And then, obviously, in the national championship game. But that guy flies sideline to sideline from the middle linebacker spot, you know, and – I think if the Bills do not go in the quarterback direction or if they can't find that trade partner, I would be happy with Roquan Smith because I remember watching him in the game and I'm like, ooh, man, if the Bills had him, that would be exciting.
Yeah,
you know? And so
I'd
be totally fine. And I think he would be a kid, he seems like a confident player out there on the field. And I think he would be confident enough to get in here and actually take over play calling duties. It would be a lot to learn in his first year. I get that. But the kid is so athletic, as long as he can pick up on the defense, which we know this defense is not crazy complex or anything like that, I think he would be okay with handling that middle linebacker position.
We talk about quarterbacks, though. We do it every day. And our Twitter poll today, out of the top projected quarterbacks in this year's NFL draft, which quarterback do you not want the Buffalo Bills to draft? Who should they not get involved with? On Twitter, half of you, 50%, say stay away from Wyoming's Josh Allen. 27% went to kind of the field, including Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson. 14% say Josh Rosen. Only 9% say don't draft Sam Darnold. That's who you do not want them to draft. So we interpret that the other way. I guess most Bills fans want them to draft Sam Darnold? No?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's what everybody's saying. Like, you people want Sam Darnold. I think, honestly, he's going to be the number one overall pick. Cleveland will take him, and then everybody else will fall into place, whether it's Allen – next, or Rosen next, or Mayfield next. Those would be the top four, but I think Darnold is going to go number one. The Bills won't even have a shot at him.
Couple of more calls on this issue. Dan calling from Rochester. Dan, what do you think?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
A couple things about the quarterbacks. I would stay away from Baker Mayfield because he's kind of the second coming of Johnny Manziel. He's kind of a head case. Mm. Josh Allen I don't like because he's just got accuracy issues. Darnold's got questions because he's from USC, and they've never been a really great quarterback, power. You know, it's like they've played well at USC, but when they go to the NFL, they don't translate well. And then moving on to linebackers real quick, there's a guy from Rochester, Quentin Goss, who is very fast. He's a great character guy, and he wouldn't cost you a draft pick to bring in, even if you just brought him in as a body for training camp, but I think he's going to be a good linebacker someday.
Where did he play college football at? Rochester, U of R?
No, he actually played for I can't think of the name. It's a New Jersey school.
Rutgers.
Last year he played for the Eagles and he played for the Broncos.
Oh, he's already in the league.
Yeah, he went to Rutgers.
Yeah, Rutgers.
Mm-hmm. Knows exactly what you're talking
about. Character guy. He's fast as anything. And he just does as he's told. He's great.
Okay.
His family runs a nonprofit in Rochester dealing with inner city kids, but sports and inner city kids.
So you know him?
I know him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Why'd you let me ask a dumb question if you knew who he was?
I'm not sure.
Thanks. Let's take a call from Tyler in Charlotte, North Carolina. Tyler, we're almost out of time. Go ahead. Just stood there and let me ask.
Hey, thanks a lot. And I just wanted to call up and say this real quick. I'm going to be brief because I'm at work, but needed to get this through to you. So, like, originally from Buffalo, New York, live in Charlotte, North Carolina, but I grew up in Rock Hill. So I'm, familiar with Rock Hill. Stephon Gilmore came from there. Mason Rudolph was the Oklahoma State quarterback. Jadeveon Clowney, all these people, I was able to see them kind of growing up.
So yeah, hurry up because we're almost out of time there, Tyler.
Buffalo Bills organization. I do not want to see us go up and get a quarterback. Let's get Mason Rudolph when he's available. Let's use the earlier picks to stockpile other positions that we need.
Okay, that's one way to do it. That's been talked about a lot, Donald, right?
It has. I think the closer we get, the more you have that coming out. People like, oh, let's just sit at 12 and build out the rest of the team.
Hey, have a great weekend. You Austin, know. Texas. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Want to thank our crew. They did a great job all week, even though I wasn't here all week. I know they're doing a good job Tuesday when I wasn't here, and we got another show coming up on Monday. Thanks to production assistants J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander. Is Tom still on the show? I think he's still
I'm not
on.
Sure where Tom is and what he does anymore.
Kelly Rood and our producer Jay Harris. We'll see you Monday at noon with the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.